following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself. The answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Sky rockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. The one and only show this week because of the Monday Night Football, Thanksgiving tomorrow. So we're going to have to get a lot in the next 2 hours. Is John Rook here today, Kevin? He's not even listening. All right. So we'll be here for the next 2 hours talking Patriots. Of course, huge win over KC. Not unexpected, but it was just good to see the Patriots do what they're supposed to do against a weak team. You know, if it was like a 3-point victory, it'd still be a win, but we'd be coming off that being worried about, you know, why didn't they kick the ass of the Kansas City Chiefs? Well, they did end up doing that. So that's good. At least they did what they were supposed to do against a weak team, 34-3. We move on to the Philadelphia Eagles this week. Much tougher contest. They've got talent all over the place, and when they put it together, they can beat any team. So this is going to be a good test, particularly for the defense. They've got some weapons. The Patriots may not, you know, particularly match up well with all the speed they've got. So we'll see what Bill Belichick can draw up. All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. That's 508-298-0398. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. Paul and Andy will be here any moment now. They're in the locker room just getting some stuff, trying to get as much stuff done as possible before the holiday tomorrow. But in the meantime, we got some blokes that came over from the UK for the Kansas City game, and I guess all their passports have been taken away, so they can't get back across the ocean. So they're still here. And guys, why don't you quickly just step up to the mic and introduce, you know, each one of you introduce yourself and tell us where in the UK you guys are from. Put that button on. There you go. Don't be like okay. Me.
I'll try again. That's the Scottish in me. My name's Jacko. I'm from Moncton in Scotland.
Okay.
I'm Jeremy. I'm from Chester.
Chester. The molester.
I'm Stephen. I'm from Glasgow.
Glasgow.
I'm Neil. I'm from Mullow in Scotland.
All right. Scotland.
My name's Matt and I'm from London.
From London. Somebody's from the city.
Yeah, I'm Alec, originally from Scotland, but now working in London.
All right. So you guys were in for the Kansas City game, and you got here last week sometime. You've been just hanging out, seeing the sights. I know some of you, it's not your first time. Who was here for the first time? You were here. No, Jamie, you were here. I know you were. So those of you that were here for the first time, you know, somebody, why don't you tell me, you know, what you – what you thought of Gillette Stadium, and if you've been to the hall and all that stuff.
It was amazing. There's nothing like that back in the UK at all. Just the whole complex, Gillette Stadium, Patriot Place, nothing like that. The Hall of Fame, mind blowing. Some of the stuff in there was fantastic.
So was
okay.
It,
now in English.
So was it everything that you thought it would be?
And more.
And where were you guys sitting for the game? Do you have good seats?
Yeah, just
eight rows.
1-1 section.
Nice. All right. Well, cool. Anything else you guys want to add? What do you guys think about, you know, because, you know, we're in like a bubble here, but you guys are seeing it from outside. What are people saying in the UK fan club about the, you know, Patriots' chances this year? Is it more of a wait and see, or are you guys on board, we're going all the way? Jamie, what do you think? Step up.
I think it's 50-50, to be honest.
Yeah.
Start of the season, the offense was scoring points. The defense wasn't really doing it. Last couple of games, it's kind of been sort of reversed.
Right.
The offense, this one, the KC game, it struggled the first couple of drives, and second half they got better, but the defense has been stepping up and performing better, which they weren't really doing at the start of the season.
Yeah.
So we're in the one season now, aren't we? So if we win out, you know, looking for the home playoff game.
Well, you UK sports fans are tough. I know the way you treat your EPL teams. You know, they have these. They still have the fanzines, you know, that just makes fun of everybody, the owners and the management and the coaches.
Yeah, yeah.
They're brutal.
Yeah.
Right?
Sounds like my kind of place.
No, people think the fans here are tough. No, they're tough over there.
Yeah.
Right, on your teams, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Except for cricket. I don't know, how do you get mad at a cricket player?
Well, I can remember 2 years when we came over.
He had a stain on his white shirt. He shouldn't have been out there.
I remember 2 years when we came over. I remember in the sports cafe, you watching cricket.
Right. And not understanding any of it.
I don't know if you guys have heard this. We were sat there, and Fred was, your eyes were like fixed on it. You didn't move. Someone said, you're watching the cricket, and Fred was like, I haven't got a clue what's going on.
He's the same with football, you know, so it doesn't really change.
No, I'll say. Sports in general. All right. All right, so let's get to some Patriots. Thanks, guys, for coming in. And by the way, Paul and Andy, they brought Dunkin' Donuts.
Nice.
So they know the weight of our hearts. Just bring food. Last impressions on the Kansas City game before we head to Philly, guys?
Wow, we're already to last impressions. We just got here.
Well, we got to make – we have one
day. Short week.
We have – yeah, one day.
Julian Edelman's back. He's a playmaker. Fun to watch. We've been calling for that all year. And what they just talked about, that the offense is struggling, I don't worry about the offense. I mean, you can wonder who's going to produce in the playoffs or whatever, but it's better to have the special teams and the defense hitting their stride late in the year, and the offense will come around. I have confidence in Brady and Gronkowski and those guys. So if you're literally putting together all three phases, they'll come together at the right time.
You know, I thought coverage early in the game was shaky. Kick coverage, but I think that it got better as the game went on.
I think they are. We talked about this. I think the problem with the coverage is so many of those guys are now playing on defense that may be affecting whether they're a little more tired or just their mind is a little spinning because they're doing, you know, Tracy White and Molden and Phil. These should be core special teamers ahead of Bo, and they're kind of a big part of your defense now as well as special teams.
It's kind of the opposite. I think the punt return game is clicking a little bit right now, even before the touchdown. And the punt coverage, I think, has been a little bit spotty. The kick coverage, I think, has been pretty good, and the kick return game has been terrible. So it's like they're opposite on both sides.
Well, they got to find, you know, as much as I like Danny Woodhead, as we know.
And he had a productive game, by the way, Monday night.
But they have to find someone else beside him to return kicks because he just goes straight ahead, runs into the first guy he sees, and gets 20 yards.
At this point, I would just rather see Edelman on handling both. Now, I know that Edelman had a chance to return kicks early in the year and wasn't
that good?
As dynamic as he has been on punts. But I know that he can do it because I see him return punts. So I know he has that in him. I'd like to see him get more opportunities on kicks.
Yeah, and it really is different, though, returning a punt and a kickoff. You know, you would think, oh, if you can return punts, you should have much easier time returning kicks because you get more of a head start, you get a better look at the field. But it is different. It's more of a big decision than a bunch of little quick decisions.
And it's more cerebral. It's more thinking.
Yeah.
You don't have time to think on punts. It's all instincts. He's going basically on it. He knows where it's designed to go. But beyond that, it's simply save your life, avoid guys.
Right.
Whereas on kick returns, it's a little more schemed and there's a little more thought involved. And I don't know if that's why he's better at punts. Maybe his just natural nature, natural nature.
Natural nature.
There, is to, you know, just save his skin. I don't know, but I think there's more time for thought on kickoffs, and that gives people problems.
Yeah.
Because you have more time to dance, you have more time to screw things up.
Right. The best, like the Devin Hesters of the world, and the best kickoff returners, to me, they seem to make that one big decision. It's that one big cut because they see the field, and I don't know if they sneak a look before just before they catch it, but they seem to know where to make that cut that really opens up the field for them. And that's, to me, what separates, you know, besides speed, separates, you know, the good ones from the great ones.
And the problem they face is they have to see where guys are going to be, not where they are.
Right.
Because those guys are coming so fast this way, you're going so fast that way, and your blockers are involved, they're avoiding, they're getting out of lanes and back into lanes. You have to see, like, a second in advance. You have to see where people are going to be and figure out how to be in a different spot. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's kind of like a quarterback. You can't throw to the receiver. You're throwing to where the receiver's going to be.
Right. So we come off the game 34-3, and we were talking in our TV show that we taped yesterday. The good thing about it is, yes, the Chiefs stink. Tyler Palko is not a professional quarterback, but they did what they should have done to that team eventually once they got rolling. And, you know, better – I think we'd be a lot more worried if we came off having won by 3 points. It's like, oh, you know, Tyler Palko, we made him look like, a Pro Bowler. But that's not what happened.
And the struggle was offensively. Defensively against Tyler Palko, they did what they should.
Right.
They kept him off the scoreboard. They made life kind of hard on him, got some pressure.
Yeah.
You know, the struggle was Brady versus Cornell's defense.
And I'm not shocked at that. I mean, I kind of felt going in that, you know, he might have a little trouble.
Plus, he's had trouble for 5 straight weeks.
You know, they might get a little bogged down. But even if it was just Kansas City, I wasn't shocked that.
But you had to be surprised with the pass rush. They had no pass rush all year, and suddenly they had a pass rush.
Well, that is troubling, you know.
And Tom Ba'ali, we were talking about this up in the press box. He passed the eyeball test. He can play, not just as a pass rusher. I don't know if you noticed. All of a sudden, he's popping up 8 yards downfield on the opposite side to make a tackle. He's a good player. I like him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
we should have got him.
He did a lot of different things in that game. The troubling thing would be what we talked about also on the TV show, and Andy brought it up, about the slow starts are now becoming a trend. It's the first 5 games, they had a touchdown, at least one touchdown in the first quarter of all 5 games. And the last 5 games, they haven't scored any touchdowns in the first quarter. And whether or not that's related to Brady's alleged injuries, I don't know.
Yeah, by the way,
I don't necessarily buy that.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's something going on, but Tom Martinez, I'm sure he's a great friend, blah, blah, blah. He needs to stop talking about Tom Brady's injuries because he doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, that story to me.
How do you know he doesn't know?
He doesn't know.
Well, okay? He said he didn't. He said,
I know.
He said he hasn't had a chance to see him because he couldn't get here.
Stop
speculating. Brady wanted him to come here.
You know, stop saying what's wrong with
Typical
Tom Brady.
Brady. I know you're dying and all, but can you come help me? About me.
I thought the same thing. But, you know,
stop.
What are you
gonna do? Stop trying to figure out what's wrong with Tom Brady physically.
Guys needs a liver transplant. Can you get here and fix my
plane?
Mechanics?
You know,
a kidney transplant.
I think it's a liver.
Oh.
No.
Oh, today I
he needs
kidney.
An organ.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, whatever.
Brady's just worried about his right arm.
speaking of organs. Anyway.
Wow.
I think that Brady's clearly dealing with something physical. I don't think that's why they're struggling early in games.
No.
However, because if it were as simple as that and he gets warmed up during the game, well, isn't that an easy fix?
Right.
You warm up a little bit more vigorously during the pregame?
And I'll tell you, a couple games ago, you know, the last home game before Kansas City, I was watching him in warm-ups, and I said, wow, he looks good. He was firing the ball, and he wasn't holding back, and then he had a slow start.
I think this offense, and I disagree with Andy a little bit on this, I do think there were some concerns on offense because I think that they are defendable. And I think people are figuring out how to deal with the new Patriots offense post-Randy Moss that they sort of had a hard time getting track of late last year and then early this year.
But
I think people have sort of figured that out, and it's taking now the Patriots a little while to adjust to the adjustments, and eventually their playmakers are coming forward, guys like Rob Gronkowski. And that's, to me, the biggest difference is they have a dynamic guy. Now, last year, Gronkowski was terrific. This year, he's taking it up a notch to dynamic. You know, I think right now he's the best tight end in football because I don't think there's another guy that can do all the different things that he does. There are better receivers and more athletic players, to be sure. But I don't think there's a guy that can make the plays in the passing game that can block like he can. And
I think he's raised his game to another level.
And he made up some good ground once he got going, you know, with the big strides. He covered a lot of ground quickly.
Oh, he's fast. Yeah. He's just not quick.
He's not, it takes him a while to get going. Right. I think that's exactly what Derek Johnson, I think, had a quote about that.
He needs 3, 4, 5 yards to really start to get moving. But then once he's at full speed, he can keep it going.
And he's a truck.
And as that guy who dove at him at the 7-yard line learned, you're going to bounce off unless you really bring him down.
Right.
So I am a little concerned about that offensively. You know, in a game against a quality playoff opponent, can you afford to have that slow start and then sort of figure it out? And I'm not sure you can.
Well, one of the reasons I think that, you know, you say they're defendable, especially early on, is because they can't dictate a running game. They don't have the type of running game where they can line up and overpower a team at this point. And I think that teams aren't worried about it. They're not worried about, you know, defending the run at this point in the season. And I think that's something that over time they're going to have to establish. Who are we waving at?
Howard.
Oh.
From the UK Patriots fan club.
Okay.
But also, more importantly, a huge Northeastern fan.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, so he's close to you, huh?
Right. Northeastern hockey.
Wow.
Season ticket holder right there.
Wow.
Also
Hi,
a
Howard.
Member of Die Hard Dogs. Oh,
yeah. So...
member of Die Hard Dogs as well.
Did you guys used to date or something? Or no?
You scoff what you don't know.
No, I don't, and I'm proud to say I don't. All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. So this game coming up with the Eagles is going to be a lot tougher, I think.
Certainly. A lot more athletes and playmakers on that team, and the unknown at the quarterback position, either guy, whoever plays, the athleticism, he's not going to go down and not be as easy to contain as Tyler Palco and some of the guys they've had in recent weeks.
I know that they've been up and down, but do we take anything from the fact that Philly played the Giants and just absolutely manhandled them, right? Wasn't it like 35-3 or something like that when they played the Giants?
17-10.
That was the last time, but the first time
they got killed.
The Eagles did?
Yes.
Okay, then I'm confused.
You're thinking of Dallas.
Oh, Dallas.
34-3.
A team that we, you know...
Struggled with.
They just absolutely manhandled.
No, I think they're the type of team that their talent on any week can do that. So they may do that against you, but it's just... That's their problem. They brought too much talent together, and... They made an offensive line coach.
We have too many players.
Well, this year, that wasn't the right year.
Yeah, in retrospect, I don't think this was the right year.
And they made an offensive line coach a defensive coordinator, which is stupid.
And because of that, do you think Andy Reid loses his job, or is that just talk?
That's just talk.
There's a lot of talk, I'll tell you that.
Really?
Last week in doing research for that preview, I was hard-pressed to find a paper that didn't at least allude to Reid being on the way out.
Yeah.
Some of them had full-fledged columns saying Reid must go detailing all the different reasons why.
I think that's crazy.
I think it's ridiculous.
Do too. I think it's crazy.
Now,
too.
If he thinks next year, if he can't get that team to play and all the talent to come together, okay, that's different. But in the lockout year with all this new talent, and it's not like they've laid an egg.
Right.
They led in the fourth quarter of, you know, three quarters of their games.
Five times they've lost fourth quarter leads out of their six losses. Five of the six losses.
The only fireable offense was making his offensive line coach a defensive coordinator. That's a fireable offense.
Yeah. Now, I mean, it could be like a Frank Kona thing where they just don't think that he's got it anymore and he's maybe lost it a little bit. You know, the Deshaun Jackson stuff has become a distraction with them. And that might be the reason why. But if you're talking strictly in terms of his ability to coach and you're looking at one bad season out of 12, that's really
I'd go with the same question I asked. Who are you going to replace him with?
Right.
Who you
right
now? Maybe the answer is Gruden or somebody, and you feel like you want to change. But there's a lot of bad coaches out there. You can do a lot worse than Andy Reid.
Exactly. I mean, he had a bad year. I mean, if it turns out that way, but,
and they're not done yet. You know, this game Sunday against the Patriots is another playoff game for them. And all of a sudden, you know, the Patriots did this in way back when in '94. They were 3-6 and rattled off 7 in a row. Patriots weren't anywhere near as talented as this Philadelphia team is.
Who was the quarterback back then?
I think you know.
Okay. All right, so webradio@patriots.com, 508-298.
Michael Vick's no Drew Bledsoe. He can't pull that off.
0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. You guys just came from the locker room. What's going on in there?
I talked to Mark Anderson for 2 minutes and 55 seconds.
Oh, you finally got it done?
Andy went about 13 seconds over.
Little long.
Yeah, that's all right.
Because it's for PFW TV, and because the show is actually airing tonight, we should tell people that it's airing tonight on Comcast because of the holiday. We had to shoot a live interview that doesn't really have time to be edited or produced, and I was told I had to do it between 2:40 and 2:45.
We'll just cut it out of from the heart. We'll just cut.
That's fine with me. I don't care. But he gave me the 30-second. Paul was there with his clock, and he gave the 30, and I was like, uh-oh, because Anderson was just finishing up an answer, and I had to get something else. So I asked another question, and then it was like all of a sudden he did the 10-second. I was like, where'd that 20 seconds go? And
20 seconds later, I did the 10-second.
But I would say watch it just for Mark Anderson's hat. He's got a very unique winter hat on that he actually wanted to change, and I talked him into keeping it.
Okay, good.
That's the biggest thing, by the way. You started off the whole segment with Monday night. I think at this point, that defensive line is sort of establishing itself as the strength of the defense and a consistent element. With those two guys on the edge, and I think it's coinciding with Anderson's increased playing time, you know, he and Carter...
As called for on this show, by the way.
Absolutely. And he and Carter are getting after the passer. The inside guys are handling the run pretty well. They struggled a little bit, I thought, against the run the other night, but not too bad.
It was actually outside. But, you know, Thomas Jones.
The thing against him was that he's not that good against the run. I saw him show up a couple times.
Well, not only I agree with you, Freddie, but not only that, Andy and I on a pregame social at least a month or so back.
You guys in the UK listen to the pregame social? Okay, good.
That was lukewarm response at best.
Howard's at the Northeastern games. He doesn't have time for our nonsense.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
But we had talked about this team is pretty good stopping the run. So can't you afford to have one guy up there that maybe isn't the greatest run stopper, but he might bolster your pass rush in Mark Anderson? And, you know, that's something Andy and I were all
over.
Bill
listens.
And Bill, you know, and Bill, as we found out, listens to this show.
Right.
And he went with it.
Yeah.
And I think it's worked. I think that's an element that you can be encouraged about, you know, whether or not you're buying the overall improvement. 3 points, they went from 20th to 10th in points allowed based on one game. I think you can buy the fact that Carter and Anderson are going to get some pressure for you consistently. Yeah. And I think that's something they haven't had in a long time.
Which, along those lines, we were talking to Mark Anderson. We need to come up with a nickname for the two.
For the two of
them?
That's
a good one for the show.
Maybe I went with A&A Sack Exchange, Andre and Anderson. But I thought maybe you could pick on something A&D. They both, his first name, Andre Carter, starts with A&D. And his last name, Anderson. Yeah, and I even said maybe T-shirts in January. Now we need to come up with something, though.
So let's put it out there for PFW and Progress.
I was thinking and two. You know how there's that basketball thing, and one? Maybe it's and two.
Pressure pair?
I don't like it.
No? Okay. Something along those lines, though. Pressure, sacks.
Sacks up.
No.
I like sacks up.
Sacks up. Well, they are this year.
Pat sack.
Okay,
pats.
Well, we're not going to send the show thinking of it. But if you have something, you can email it to webradio@patriots.com or call it in to 508-298-0398. Let's get to some emails because this is our one and only show this week. Want to get to some emails, and then we got to do our picks.
It's a very special show, actually.
Did I win the week, by the way?
No.
No.
No?
No.
How did I not win the week?
You didn't pick
enough
games.
Because you didn't have as good a record as Andy and I.
I got the Jets game right with Tebow.
Yeah.
So that gave me a one-game edge right off the top.
And you lost it.
You also picked Minnesota.
Oh.
Gave that one back.
I really thought that they'd bounce back.
So you lost to a computer, you know.
Did I?
You lost to the Wilson-Hart Power Index.
Finally.
And you know.
No. I believe 3 out of 4 weeks you've lost to the Wilson-Hart Power Index.
All right. The holidays are here as well, and you know I'm starting to win games.
Blah, blah, blah.
This is what happens.
Brooklyn Decker, the computer, beat your ass.
All right.
Did you know Fred was a camp counselor, by the way?
Not surprised.
Tie that into the bump and butt story. And
not
very
surprised.
Interesting. You have any charities you do work for?
Oh, come on now. That's not nice. That really isn't.
It is what it is. Oh. You see the headline today? Pennsylvania Child Services to open an investigation into Jerry Sandusky. What?
I know.
Talk about being 30 years too late.
Right.
Holy crap.
It's an interesting story in the Globe.
Well, you know, budget cuts. They just get around to it.
Well, I'm waiting to find out that, like, a guy who played for Paterno runs that organization, or somebody's brother runs that organization. That's a shady state. You know, people say Chicago and this and that. That's a shady state, clearly.
Did you see the story in the Globe this week about Sandusky, and he spent 1 year as an assistant at BU?
Yeah, I did see that.
And
he fought a guy or whatever?
The captain of the team punched him out.
Right.
And got kicked off the team because of
it. I wonder what that was all about. Unfortunately, the guy has passed away. Well, can't find out
He grabbed his nuts. It was awkward.
Well, I wonder.
All right. Well, he'd be too old for him. He likes him much younger.
Fred, all of a sudden, Fred's disgusted.
Right.
The guy who brought us bumper butts is disgusted.
We don't have time for that this week. Serious football show.
Let's see.
A lot of emails, so read some.
Well, I'm trying to find a good one. Nick and Victoria writes
Lucky
in.
Him.
Yeah. I think Rob Ninkovic made the best football play of the night with the monster hit on Palco before the interception. If a play like that doesn't get your team revved up on both sides of the ball, nothing will. I loved it. I think I've watched it about 20 times now, and I think it was that sequence the team rallied around and began the stomping of the Chiefs.
That may be, because that was also the sequence that involved Kyle Love killing an offensive lineman for the Chiefs on the change of possession.
I asked him about it after the game. He was
like jacked up and celebrating.
He was on his way out, and I know that he was like almost all the way into like the training, the weight room, that hallway. And I said, real quick, I just want to ask you one question. And he goes, what do you got? And I go, you really lit that dude up there after that interception. He just started laughing. He goes, that's what he just asked me. Evidently, Tom Curran had just asked him the same question, and he downplayed it, of course, but he was pretty jacked up about it.
He should have downplayed it on the field before he knew if the guy was going to get up or not.
He was pretty jacked up about it.
Because he celebrated, and the guy wasn't moving while he was celebrating.
Who was the guy, the offensive lineman, used to play for the Colts?
Lilleheimer? I don't know. Who cares?
That's who it was. He just completely destroyed him.
Oh, by the way, Matt Light walking through the locker room with no walking boot. He left the stadium with a walking boot after getting rolled up on one of those bubble screens on Monday night. I saw him walking through in his Under Armour sneakers, just walking
normal. Well, Ian Rappaport reported that his inside source says that it was an inside sprain, which isn't that bad. So,
That aside, I don't really take much validity in that particular report.
Okay.
PJ
writes
in. Not just that report.
Now, PJ,
the crap sheet in general.
PJ's from North Carolina, but I guess he was in the UK. And he said that he ate at a place called Sally Pussy's Inn. I don't know if you guys from the UK have ever heard of Sally Pussy's Inn.
Is there a whole pussy chain?
So he just wanted to let us know
it's
that.
Off the chain.
Because we're
is
always
it next door to the Cox Inn?
Yeah, why?
Because if those two get together,
why
you're in
are
trouble.
So many pubs in the UK have the word cock in it? I mean, what is going on there? It's like the cock and bull and the cock this and the cock that.
The cockle gobbler.
I what is that?
It's a rooster, actually.
No, I know, but our show should make cocks bigger. Let's
see. Big farmers over there, and they like to promote. You know, if the rooster didn't crow, none of the farmers would get up. So their livelihood is based in the cock.
Okay.
Cock and take.
Gene in Daytona says, I turned my computer on today, and the first thing I see is on Yahoo Sports. Tom Martinez says it looks like Tom's elbow was hurting him. I'm so pissed I had to talk to you guys. Why is Martinez trying to put a bullseye on Tom's arm? How could he possibly think this would help Tom? Do you think Belichick appreciated those comments?
Nope.
And how will Bill do damage control now?
I don't know.
Should Bill just add Tom to the injury report like the farce he has created for the last 8 years with Tom Brady probable arm, actually with shoulder, and use the IR report to actually defer the situation? I do not know what this Martinez guy could have possibly been thinking. Maybe Andy and Paul think I'm being overly concerned, but Fred, I know you feel like I do, and I do. That's one of the things I said at the top of the show. I wish he would stop talking about Tom Brady's health.
And that's fine. But
I agree with that, but not for that reason. There was already reported that Brady's hurt.
Plus, he's wearing a protective device. Right. So if anything puts a bullseye on it, it's that. People can see that he has a black band on his forearm.
Greg Bedard reported that it was a hit that he took in the Dallas game. A specific hit that
he
took.
Remember, he was doing something.
So it's not new.
No, but I wish you would stop talking about it.
That's a side issue. I agree with you on that because I don't see how Martinez knows what Brady's dealing with from afar.
Right.
You know.
Unless he talked to him.
Which he says he hasn't really had a chance to do.
Maybe he lied.
Yeah, that's always a possibility.
Or just forgot.
But otherwise, I don't care. If he's talking to Brady and whatever, then that's up to Brady to tell him what, that don't talk to the media or whatever. But
plus, I mean, guy's got nothing to lose.
Right.
His Highness from Halifax, Nova Scotia writes in, first, I'd like to wish all my PFW peeps a happy Thanksgiving from north of the border, especially my main man, Andy, who's got a wife on IR. So we'll have to do the cooking this year.
I'm making stuffing.
Are you really?
Yes. First time.
Andy, tell Fred I said you could take a Katy Perry list. Out of petty cash. What's a Katy Perry?
It's a hot singer.
I know, but how do you take it out of petty cash?
I don't know.
All right. Anyway.
You don't cook at all, right?
Absolutely not.
That's why you buy $70 turkeys and wonder why they're so expensive.
That's right.
Because they're organic, farm-grown, and cooked for you.
I just eat it.
They actually chew it and spit it into your mouth.
The gravy's already on the plate. When
it did come with gravy.
No, but it already is on. You don't even have to pour it.
Honestly, Thanksgiving is probably one of my least favorite holidays.
How can it be? Football and food.
I love
it. It's like a true day where you can relax. Man. Like, there's no pressure. Like, even on Christmas, I feel like there's more pressure for gifts, and you want everybody to like their gifts. And
see, I like that.
I love Christmas, but there's a little more pressure. Thanksgiving is just sit back, eat, and watch football. And this year, you have great games.
Yeah.
You have two legitimately great football games to watch.
Yeah.
What's the matter, Fred? Why don't you like Thanksgiving?
I don't know. I was never a big turkey person.
I'm not a big turkey person.
You know, and...
But there's a lot of other stuff.
Something else?
Well, you know, back in the day, sometimes we'd have lobster. Yeah. But I don't know.
Such
I'm just
a rich
not...
bastard.
Just not a big deal.
Your turkey was $70. Mine was like $14.
Oh, listen to him.
I was going to pick one off on my cul-de-sac this morning. It was three or four of them walking around.
They're not as meaty, I hear.
Those are gamey.
I hear you'd have to kill like five of them to equal one,
well,
like store-bought.
I wouldn't really
Plus
kill
the
one.
Feathers when you pull them out and the blood and everything be awkward.
I don't think he was
I think I would traumatize.
He was just kidding.
I don't even.
Traumatize my kids.
I don't even like you have to get rid of the thing in the middle.
The gullet?
Like they give you the neck or whatever. And I'm going to have to do it. I always make my wife do it, but I can't make her limp out.
Anyway, after this is still his highness from Halifax.
You know what I'm talking about? That thing that comes out?
Yeah,
it's
a long thing.
Yeah. it looks like a penis.
Yeah.
No joke.
Right.
No, wait.
Okay.
No, but in all seriousness, I mean, Fred, it looks like a penis.
This is where Fred makes those faces at me like he wants Andy to stop. Yeah. Like I have some
control.
I don't
know what locker room you've been peeping in. But
No.
You know.
Not a flaccid penis. A hard as a rock penis.
Okay, all right.
So now you're determining, oh, man.
I guarantee you will get emails with people agreeing that that's what it looks like, because it does.
All right.
A pretty big one, too.
Wow. Anyway, after seeing Rex Ryan trying to get Mark Sanchez to sulk himself into playing well by giving octogenarian Mark Brunell a couple of reps in practice, it makes me want to get down on my hands and knees and thank God we have Bill Belichick. I would say Jabba the Foot should give Sanchez another hot dog to make him happy, but we all know that wiener wouldn't last long under Rexy's tender care.
A lot of wiener talk today.
Finally, I just wanted to give big props to rookie Nate Solder for being a blocking beast at tight end against the Chiefs, a role we desperately needed to be filled this year, and P.S. Tebow sucks.
I was watching him run. I think you could throw him the ball. I know he went out once the other day. I think you could throw him the ball. I don't think there's a huge difference between him and Gronkowski in terms of quickness and getting going for short passes. A
little bit of competing media analysis with regard to the three tight end look and Solder specifically. Mike Reese had a detailed thing saying that's what got the offense going is they went to that look. And they had struggled early and they went to Solder and that sort of opened things up a little bit. Greg Bedard said no, it wasn't that. They just... they struggled with Solder as well, and then just the execution improved gradually. And
was that one a reaction to the other?
No,
I
think it was totally separate, and that's why it caught my eye.
Did either of them cite scouts?
I didn't read them. I only read the Cliff Notes version of them.
Interesting, but he runs very well. When you watch him pulling and running in motion, he can move. He's still got a little tight end in him.
David writes in. He says, "Are you kidding me? Arrington is leading the NFL in interceptions with all the passing going on in the league. How the heck is this possible? Sorry, I just don't believe Arrington is that good, period."
He's not. He's having a great year, and he's very opportunistic, fortunate. Plus, he's a God-fearing man. He's getting the Tebow-like breaks on defense.
But, Belichick kind of alluded the fact that, they aren't the kind of interceptions that, you know,
he's not cutting in front.
Right. But he gave him credit for being in the right place, being athletic, being aware. And, you know, there's something to that.
If you're not within 5 yards of the receiver, you're not going to get picks. And as Bill said, he's been kind of around the ball and
stuff happens.
You
look at a couple of years ago, or maybe it was last, when Darren Sharper had all those picks. A lot of them were like Arrington's picks.
But he's getting them. It's more natural for a safety to get those.
Right.
A corner is getting those. Right. That's where it's a little different.
Yeah.
Can we go back one email? Did that say, I count my blessings that we have Belichick?
Yeah.
Well, how about you count your blessings that you have Brady? You don't have to do something to get the quarterback going.
Right.
That's what's, I mean, Rex Ryan, he may have picked him, so that may be his fault. You know, he may have been involved or whatever, but he's stuck with a quarterback who's not improving and not becoming the leader he needs to be. That's why he has to do all that crap. So count your blessings. You have Tom Brady.
This guy writes in, Donald, says, guys, smarten up. Tom Martinez died this summer.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah. He actually didn't.
Right. He was close. He was supposedly like on the edge of the grave, but he had a miraculous comeback.
Right.
And you have a phone call.
Well, we'll take that later.
That's the greatest criticism we've ever gotten on this show. Smarten up.
Yeah,
the guy died in the summer. Okay.
Tiff writes in, I think this is a must-win for the Patriots coming up. The AFC is so evenly matched. This could set the Patriots apart. I believe the same can't be said for the Ravens versus 49ers.
That's a great game, though.
Same. You think she meant to say same can be said?
Oh, maybe she meant can, yeah.
Because it would seem to me that's a game that Baltimore can sort of establish itself as.
But only, mentally.
Yeah, but I think
NFC
that's what she's
games
talking about.
Don't really.
Yeah, but I don't. How many more games? I mean, with them, you never know because their three losses are all. They're 5-0 against winning teams and whatever, 2-3 against losing teams or something like that. So you never know who they could lose to, but this shapes up as one of their tougher remaining games.
Right.
For Baltimore. So maybe she's trying to look at the number one seeds. And it's funny because even though the Patriots lose the tiebreaker to the Steelers, right now, Baltimore would be the division champ, and I don't know what the tiebreaker situation is between Baltimore and New England, but maybe New England has the tiebreaker over Baltimore. I don't know.
Right. Well,
I believe we're the number one seed today.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I don't know why.
So they must have the tiebreaker over Baltimore.
Right. Sure. Sure. Let's see.
I don't start following those things this early.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to it. Jeff in Vegas is on the line. Hey, Jeff.
Guys.
Hey guys, happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, you too. How are you doing?
How are you?
Swimmingly?
Well, I'm okay, and this actually leads to a good lesson. We did have, despite a terrifying most of the first half, when it was very scary, I think a Gronk bailed the Patriots out a little bit with those two big plays.
Well, sure. I mean, somebody has to do it.
And he got it going. Yeah. I mean, they caught it. The blitz was working. They caught him in a blitz, and it cost him the game because the momentum just totally swayed to the Patriots.
Yes, and it was interesting that up to about midway through the first half, you could kind of see the blueprints of how perhaps, Kansas City could really have given us, a tough game throughout.
Okay.
In any case, so that leads us to a lesson, and that is my Vegas Jeff lesson of the day. Is I gave out Kansas City the cover to the 17, but what sort of saved my fanny was the under point total. So that sort of played out that because Kansas City couldn't score, the under was a relatively uneventful cover.
But you also took a quarter unit on the money line, right?
Actually, a one-sixth of a unit, Andy. So I have to have six of those losses to equal one unit. So four more, and I have to get another unit. And that would put me to 14-4 rather than 14-3 where I currently am.
That's too much math for me.
Understood. Back to the lesson, guys.
Yeah.
And that being said, never do parlays and never do teasers. Don't be a sucker. Don't buy into that hype.
That is correct. That's a lesson I learned when I was about eight or nine.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Growing up in the mean streets of Everett.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many people, they'll do their parlays, and they always, without exception, they hit 6 out of 7 or 11 out of 12 or
looks like a sucker bet, and it is. It looks like it's easy money, but it's the opposite.
Yes, it's always that one that gets you, and they're like, well, just bet them outright. You'd go 41-1, and you make $1 million. But no, you do these ridiculous parlays, and you lose 100% of your investment.
Like those 10-team cards when you were little?
Yeah.
Well, that's different, though.
Yeah.
Well, you still got to win all the games.
No,
that's
I know.
Yeah, and I do have a little bit of Vegas inside dope for the listeners. I took a ride out to the Hilton Sportsbook. I hadn't been there for a while last night just to see how the celebrity pickers are doing on the Hilton Super Contest.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hilton, despite its reputation, it's very large, but it's old, it's broken down. I mean, the carpets are disgusting, and like the TVs are like really blurry, and that's a result of the bad Vegas economy. A lot of these sports books are not investing in the TVs, and they're older, and the TVs are awful, believe
it or
not.
And, wow. You can get a flat screen for a few $100 when you buy them, in quantity like that. And what's their problem?
losing money.
So, right. So any tourists, if you're coming in, I mentioned the Trop the other day, you might want to check out the Venetian sports book. Again, brand new. They have the HD projection TVs, but the problem with the Venetian is it's hard to park there. You got to walk like a mile to get there. So the Vegas tip of the week is you park at the Treasure Island. You take the pedestrian bridge over to the Venetian. It takes you right to the sports book.
Oh,
so that's what you want to do. If you want to see a brand new sparkling one, that's the way to go.
Plus, you can stop at Treasure Island and see the hot chicks doing that show.
Hey, is the Frontier on strike still? They've been on strike for like 20 years. They got the guys picketing out front.
Yeah, well, now you've got all that Wall Street movement thing that's happening.
Oh, so that's different. That's different.
Yeah, no, the Frontier is no longer picketing. One quick last thing about the Venetian, too. They have that Mario Batali. He's this amazing, like five-star restaurant, but he has a version of it that is the same exact food, but it's like one-third the price. It's called like, it's the Italian word for the number eight. It's like Ono or something like that, and that's right near that, too. And I'll tweet it out on the PPGS. I have a good friend of mine. She's completely non-for-profit. Her name is Randy, at SaveLV, and she has all these discounts on show tickets and meals. It's not one of these shady things. She just doesn't make a dime, just helping, tourists in Vegas or friends in Vegas get good deals on stuff. So
nice.
Just want to, slide that out there as well.
All right, Jeff, thanks.
Last thing on the game. No line on the game. I guess they've just tweeted out that BY is taking all the practice reps. Vic is not practicing at all. So no line on the game yet. Eagles athleticism is a little bit scary. I'll call into the PPGS Sunday with the with all the line information. Have a great one.
Last thing,
do the UK guys have Twitter handles? Are the UK guys
Pats
Twitter?
Fans, right?
UK Pats fans, at UK Pats. What's your Twitter handle?
At
UK Patriots.
Okay, and remember, I'm Jeff Vegas 12. Let's all hook this up and get this massive Twitter following for true loyal Pats fans.
Love it. Sounds good.
Have a great Thanksgiving, guys. Take care.
Jeff is just determined to get us kicked off.
No, but that's interesting that Young taking all the snaps.
Yep.
That's good for Kyle Arrington. He could increase his interception total this week because, did you see Vince Young the other night?
Really?
Uncle Rico? That's part of it. I mean, he could never throw, and now he hasn't thrown in a year, but brutal.
Is he better than Tim Tebow?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Except he doesn't win.
Yeah, he does.
Actually, he
That's the
win.
Funny thing is, the whole story of him is he does win. He just doesn't have the off the field. He's a psycho, and that's what hurts him big time.
Let's go to California. Jerry's calling in. Hey, Jerry.
Good morning. I just turned on. I'm not quite sure what y'all are discussing, but I had two serious questions I'd like to ask you.
Okay.
The first one is Ross Ventrone. I noticed he's been signed and released about 20, 28 times or something like that. So I was just curious, what are the financial implications of going from the practice squad to the 53-man roster, then being released, and then cycling back through all that again?
It's huge. It makes him like an extra 15 or 20 grand a week because he gets a legitimate game check instead of just his little $4,000 practice squad salary. So Paul and I were actually talking about this. It actually costs the team money, I believe, because Donald Thomas is on the roster for the week. And if you're on the roster for the week, you get a game check. But then you also get a game check if you're on the roster for the game. So I believe they're putting out 54 game checks instead of 53 because they have that extra guy who's not on the game day roster but was there all week. But yeah, he gets a nice bump. So instead of he gets 1/17 of 385 instead of 4,000 a game. So he gets a nice bump and makes extra money.
Yep.
Okay, appreciate the info. And the second one had to do with the headset communications for the quarterback and one of the defensive guys. Is that link? Surely it's not on all the time. So when does it come on? When does it go off? And who actually turns it on and turns it off?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There is a set amount of time where
15 seconds before the play clock expires, it goes off.
It has to go off.
Who does actually turn it off?
I don't
That's
know.
That's a good question. I would assume it's a league person.
Official.
Is it a league official at every game?
Although Vito Stellino doesn't seem to think so. They always go out up there!
But back to the actual, I didn't quite catch the actual timeline. You said it was so many seconds before.
15 seconds before the play clock expires.
They have to turn it off.
It goes off.
Okay, well, that was two questions. Hopefully we'll do well against the Eagles. Looking forward to that game.
Okay, Jerry. Whereabouts in California are you?
Santa
home.
Maria, California, Central Coast.
Central Coast, okay.
About halfway between San Francisco and L.A., which is a pretty good place to be in California.
Yeah, that's nice. Okay, Jerry, enjoy the weather.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Jerry. Quick update here.
Yeah.
Andy Reid spoke with the Patriots media a short time ago. That's where all the reports that Jeff had, that he said that Vic won't practice today. He's day-to-day. So not necessarily looking forward, but he won't practice today. Jeremy Maclin, however, will play, who missed the last game.
That's not good for Kyle.
That's
Larrington.
A big addition for the Eagles.
Yep. This is going to be a tough game.
If Michael Vick plays, this is going to be a tough game. I agree with Andy. If Vince Young plays, the Patriots will come up with enough turnovers to win the game.
You know LeSean McCoy is good, right, Fred?
Very good, yeah.
Okay. I mean, he legitimately is one of the best running backs in the NFL right now. Paul and I were saying easily the best running back Patriots have faced this year.
Yeah.
He is a legit young, and I think the interesting thing, he loves to cut it back. He loves to start right and come back to the left side. So if you get Carter or Anderson over pursuing, those linebackers are going to be on their toes. Ninkovich and especially one Gerard Mayo needs to step up and match athleticism with athleticism because he also catches the ball. He also is a big part of their passing game. So that's an interesting game within the game, the linebackers on McCoy.
All right. One more call before we take a break. Dan and Harriet's on the line. Hey, Dan.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Where's Harriet?
Yeah, she's chilling next to me right now. You know, I'm back home for the holidays.
Oh, nice.
And where is home?
Speaking of which, what's the deal, Fred? You're hating on Thanksgiving.
It was just never one of my big holidays. I'm not a big turkey eater. I hate family, you know, so it's just.
You don't even like pie?
I do like pie.
What kind?
Apple, blueberry, my favorites. Pumpkin, okay, but.
Doesn't like Thanksgiving, never had wet dreams. I mean,
He's not an American.
And
he's
certainly never had a wet dream about Thanksgiving.
Warm apple pie?
Yeah, like, talk about, like, the.
Sounds
the
like Andy has, though, when he has that turkey.
Yep. But okay, looking at this past game, I mean, remember, Miami hung 38 on that Kansas City Chiefs team. So, I mean, I think that can tell you just about how good Kansas City is.
Right.
Yeah, but what about the defense? Defense did a nice little job.
Yeah, I mean, well, they did what they should have done, I think, against that quarterback and with just so many catastrophic injuries.
That's called an improvement,
right.
They don't always do what they should do. For about a year and a half now, what they did was give up 300 yards. They did again. But.
I'll give you that. I mean, like it's nice that at least they're showing a little bit of consistency now. But I'd like to see Mark Anderson, you know, in the regular rotation even more. I mean, maybe even have him on first and second down. I mean, yeah, he doesn't have the good run, stuffing ability, but theoretically, that's what your linebackers should be able to compensate for, considering they don't seem to do much of anything else well.
Yeah, I think you're going to see his playing time increase. I think the Sean Ellis was irrelevant movement has reached the coaching level. I think they decided Sean Ellis was not really that much of an impact player, and whatever you give up against the run, you benefit against the pass. It's a passing league. Teams are going to want to pass, so even if teams are running 40% of the time, you're still getting the 60% Mark Anderson. That's better.
I mean, like, hopefully that carries over into the off season. I mean, like, I think this notion that we need these, you know, incredibly versatile players that can just do everything, you know, with some level of adequacy just hasn't been working out lately. And I think if you are this defensive mastermind, you should be able to find a way to utilize what players do well in your system.
I agree. That whole, if you only do one thing, you better do it really well. Otherwise, we'd rather have a guy that does five things well. Well, they have guys who do five things, and it doesn't work.
Well, I think that just bringing in, even if it's just a defensive coordinator that has some say, you don't have to bring in a GM, but just somebody that can say, you know, at the draft table, you know, this guy has immense talent in this area. I can find a way to use him. Let's go up and get him.
Yeah.
As opposed to let's just throw darts at the wall and get a bunch of these.
I don't think
that's mid-level players.
Now Bill's just throwing darts.
But about Andy Reid, I mean, I think he's been a great coach. I think he's probably more than that city deserves as far as football coach. But at the same time, I think Philly ownership would be within their right to decide to fire him at the end of this season. I mean, Paul, you made the connection to Francona. I think there's a lot of similarities in the way those two seasons have went. I mean, you think they both essentially got the prize of free agency. I know the Red Sox got it through a trade, but right. You're basically getting the top guy on there. You've assembled basically the best secondary in the NFL if Samuel plays up the caliber. And I don't know what you guys think about Cromartie, but I think with his speed, he's a bona fide number three corner. So I don't think there's any excuse for at least making a playoff berth. Like, if you can't do that, I think somebody has to answer for that.
Well, I mean, but it's just one, you know, it's 1 year, and anything can happen in 1 year. And you look at the body of work, and who do they have to replace him?
See, this is when you're not close enough to watch every week to see if you think it's sort of
a loss. Has he lost the locker room?
Right, and right. Is it coaching related? And that's right. Why I say that I wouldn't dismiss it. Like Francona, I was a big Francona fan, but I think it was the right move to let him go because I do think he was part of the problem. And if Reed is part of the problem right now, then I wouldn't necessarily be opposed if I were an Eagle fan to letting him go. Plus, those Eagle fans, I mean, they don't like him to begin with, so who knows?
No?
No.
Really?
No, he gets killed there. He can't manage the clock, but other than that, he's a pretty good coach.
There is one pretty big difference in that Andy Reid did make the playoffs last year, whereas Francona was on, like, a 3-year slide. So, I mean, maybe you give him some leeway in that regard.
Well, but, 2 years, I mean, not 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think Vic is definitely the big X factor in this game. I mean, they've proven the ability they can contain those running quarterbacks, and I think if you force them to stay in the pocket, that increases your chances of winning. I mean, when they were beating Roethlisberger and the Steelers, I think that contributed to how they were able to beat him with his mobility. But that's all I got, but I got an idea,
Dan.
For the Andre Carter-Anderson tandem name. I mean, it's not the best thing because I didn't have a whole lot of time to think about it, but my idea is the double-A battery sack.
The double-A battery sack.
Not terrible. Not great. You're right, but terrible.
Yeah,
I
can't be on every week.
I hear you.
All right.
Ask Harriet. Maybe she'll come up with something.
Okay.
Have a good Thanksgiving, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Dan.
Higgins and Hopkinton says flush and crush. Anderson seems to flush the quarterback with his speed.
I like that.
Right into the waiting arms of Carter.
I like that.
So flush and crush.
That's good.
You like that? Really?
That's kind of what they've done recently.
Yeah.
The only problem is if it doesn't continue.
I figured out Fred doesn't like the ones that actually are literally true. It has to just be a funny play on words. Because if it's actually, you know, passes the literal and figurative test, Fred doesn't like it.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to take a break now. We got to pay some bills, and we'll be right back.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That
is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hot or iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got at the end of that
really,
game?
Really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery.
But they take that field out, you know.
In trays.
But, yes, but right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
Really? Yeah, I can't help it.
I got it too.
You
wouldn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts.
Jesus.
Well, the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address.
Did you read Stripper's email?
No.
He's got the history of your Sally Pussy.
Oh, yeah? I'll get to that later. Tony writes in.
You made that sound dirty.
Tony writes in. He says, first off, I wanted to ask Paul what happened to the Jets plane on Thursday. Engine trouble, landing gear. Paul said on Thursday that the Jets would be fine as long as their plane landed.
And clearly
so
it
I'd
didn't.
Like to know what happened.
Did you watch the game?
Their plane didn't land?
Clearly. They didn't show up.
My annual pilgrimage to Gillette this year came Monday night, and woo-hoo! While playing a lousy team, the crowd seemed to be into it. I sat in section 237, and everyone was on their feet at the right times, defensive third downs, roaring at big tackles and plays. It was a nice change from the previous games I've been to in the past several years. Has that been the case all along?
What is the, what game is he talking about? Monday night?
I guess so, yeah.
Now, this is going to be funny, and you'll probably laugh at me, Fred, but just talking to some of the guys that shot the game for KSP,
yeah,
were saying they couldn't believe all the booing that was going on in the first half.
Really?
The crowd was, they thought it was a little bit ridiculous based on, you know, the success that the team has had over the years. You know, clearly they weren't playing that well at the start of the game, but the booing that was going on, they said, was unbelievable. Unbelievable, they thought.
Wow.
And now this one says, you know, the crowd was going crazy.
Well, UK guys, did you hear booing?
Yeah.
Did you hear a lot of booing? Really? Was that you guys?
No,
I know you're tough.
They didn't care. They were drunk.
Oh.
Yes. singing songs.
On Gronkowski, he's a true beast, but he lumbers, and it seems that every time he gets hit, it seems like he's hit at a weird angle on either the hip or the legs, and he bends awkwardly. I know that if it were me getting hit that way, I'd need to be carried off on a stretcher every few minutes.
That's what Brian Waters said. His career would have ended.
I fear his style is going to cost him in the long run, but damn, he's phenomenal.
Do you think he's got a short shelf life based on that?
If he keeps taking those hits,
yes. He takes a lot of big hits.
No question.
That's tough for him to get low.
It's a good observation.
And he's also not light on his feet, so receivers are almost floating, so when they get hit, their feet get taken out. His are planted, so it hurts him.
Well, it's not even so much about the size of the target, but what I think, he's an easy target because of, I think, what the emailer is saying. He kind of lumbers. With the receivers, you don't really get a chance to hit them square like that because they're so quick and fast.
Right.
He's sort of right there for you to take out.
Plus, he already has a back problem.
The Pats defense seems better with Anderson playing more snaps. I know the knock on him is that he can't stop the run, but honestly, I think we need to continue pressuring the quarterback more than we need to have a guy set the edge.
I agree.
The pressure helps all four guys in the secondary. I think you can cover up his weakness on the run with a decent linebacker or safety.
Which generally, I mean, a lot of times Mayo's over there, it seems like.
Yeah. Now for a game. Please select which player you'd rather have on your team, Tebow or Palko?
Palko.
Tebow or Matt Moore?
Tebow is my answer for that.
Matt Moore.
Matt Moore than over
Tebow or Tavares Jackson?
Tavares Jackson.
Tebow.
Tebow or McCoy?
McCoy.
Tebow or Painter?
Who's McCoy?
Colt
Painter.
McCoy.
Oh, McCoy.
Tebow or Painter?
Tebow.
Painter.
Tebow or Grossman?
Grossman.
Grossman.
I hate Tebow, but I think I'd take him over any of those guys.
Oh, you're an idiot.
Oh, now you're calling him an idiot?
Yeah.
Because he disagrees with you.
He stinks. Have you heard Scott Zolak talk about Tebow? He brings a legitimate passion to the argument based on the fact that normal people who do what Tebow does get kicked out of the league, and they're guys, backup quarterbacks.
Normal.
That's right, because he has this fraudulent following.
No, that's not
the
why
best thing I heard about Tebow this week was from John Elway. After the last month or so, are you closer to finding your team's quarterback? John Elway, no. Thank you, John.
Well, didn't they say...
No, I'm no.
Quarterback of the future, they said?
No, you're a quarterback. No.
What's the difference?
Well, like going, you know...
Going forward.
He's not a franchise quarterback, you know...
He's not a franchise quarterback
going forward
this Sunday. He stinks.
Oh, come on.
He stinks! You know why the defense is playing so well? They get so many opportunities after his three and outs.
He's so mad that he's 4-1. So mad.
He stinks.
I'm not mad that he's 4-1. I'm mad that people think that they're 4-1 because of him.
Plus, just cut him so he can go build that hospital all by himself. It's going to take a while to build a hospital with just his two hands.
He's probably going to have to miss next season.
Probably.
Why do you have to hate?
Because I hate him.
Why do you hate?
Because I do.
Why?
Because he's a fraud.
I've come to the realization that it's not him that I hate. It's the people that talk about him.
Well, that's part of it.
Okay, well,
but that's something
him.
That we talked about.
He fuels it.
Well, it's something that Fred brought up a while ago, and
I'm
I didn't really think that was accurate.
I don't want to turn
the
this
best
into
person
Tebow.
I can for this organization. No one wants a person. They want a guy who can complete passes.
I just want
we
a
don't,
guy
let's
who
not
can
pretend
play.
That there's any Patriot way or Bronco way. If you can go and out and complete 70% of your passes and throw for 350 yards, you're the best person for the job.
See, but I don't care how he does it. If he was playing effectively and they were winning games, I would say so.
He sucks.
He's not playing. I mean, they had 9 consecutive three and outs in that game. So you can't tell me that he's the reason why they won it. But yet, that's what's being forced down our throats every single week.
He's
is that this guy is inspiring the defense.
He is.
That's the stuff that...
No, he's giving them extra reps because he has so many three and outs.
And that's not his fault. So you're
yes,
right about
is.
That.
He fuels it. He feeds into it.
It's not his fault.
Yes, it is. It is.
That
it
people
is.
Say that the defense has been it inspired is. By Tim Tebow.
He
that's not his
into
fault.
It. He feeds into
Stephen
it.
Stephen Albany says, first off, happy
Don't
Thanksgiving.
Don't you remember what he said when
Enough.
He was, wait, no. But you remember what he said when he was coming into the league about how he's going to be a leader and his teammates, he'll work hard in the offseason and they'll respect what he does. And then respect will turn into like and like will turn into love. Who the bleep are you to say that your teammates you've never met are going to have this process where they grow to love you?
He's
Shut the hell up.
He's Tim Tebow.
I hate him.
First off, happy Thanksgiving to all you and all your families. If you have to travel, be safe. The New England Patriots, 3 weeks removed from being the worst team in the NFL and will never win again, are sitting in the number one seed in the AFC. If Baltimore wins out, the best we can do is second place. What are your thoughts on the team holding a first-round bye heading into the playoffs with the schedule we currently have? Would you agree that a first-round bye is the Patriots to lose from here on out?
Yes.
I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah, they're in that spot right now, and people theoretically think they should run the table.
So
I don't understand, though. They're in the number one spot now, but if Baltimore wins out, they're the number one seed?
That's what he said.
Yeah, because of common
so
opponents.
So we don't control our own destiny.
No, not for the number one seed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I do think they'll get the number one seed because I think they have the easiest schedule.
Well, they do, by numbers.
Let's see. Chad writes in, oh, my God, the Patriots' defense is horrible. Brady can't throw and Belichick can't coach. How are we going to make it through the season? I was joking over Paul and Andrew.
Andrew? Is that my mother?
A win is a win. What matters is the record. I'll just nitpick the offensive line, though. Mankins and Vollmore seem to be asleep during the first drives. Tamba Ali is an elite pass rusher for sure, but Vollmore is the best right tackle in the game,
what?
Except according to Paul and Andrew, and he clearly didn't react.
Who is this? Why does he call me Andrew?
Ali sack play. I don't know. Mankins commits penalties. That's unusual. Anyway, great win for us. We go 7-3 and on the right track to clinch the top seed. And P.S., if the negative gang's jobs are to be paid for being negative, then they're doing a great job.
Is that us?
He's talking about you.
Who was that?
And Tony backs up his claim that he'd take Tebow. He says, I hate Tebow, but those other guys have proven they stink and they won't win games. At least Tebow has proven he can pull a game out after being lousy
ass.
All game. So, he's a winner.
All right. I know you didn't want to do this, but we're going to do it anyway. Do you think that Tim Tebow is capable of taking a team to the Super Bowl playing the way he's played?
If the defense keeps playing.
Playing the way he's played, can you go to the Super Bowl?
If the defense continues.
So
yes.
I expect you to pick the Broncos to beat the Patriots.
I also think the Patriots can go to the Super Bowl.
Do you think that Tim Tebow can take a team to the Super Bowl?
Anybody can. Trent Dilfer took a team to the Super Bowl. Actually, his defense took them to the Super Bowl.
So you think Tim Tebow can go to the Super Bowl?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
You I mean, a lot
no
of the,
chance.
A lot of the, no chance at all. Not even you can't go to the Super Bowl doing that. Trent Dilfer was Tom Brady compared to what Tim Tebow is doing for his offense.
But I also think that Tim Tebow will improve.
That's not what my question was.
Jess writes in, wanted to share my thoughts on why Edelman had his best game of the season so far on Monday night.
Uh-oh.
Up until he came to the Pats, Edelman played QB, a position like the pitcher in baseball where you're involved in and focused for every play. This season, as the punt returner and fourth or fifth receiver on a team that prefers 2 and 3 tight end sets, Edelman has been like the fat kid in right field staring at dandelions. Not in the action much, and then not very good when called upon. He seemed to have lost a little focus due to his lack of involvement, and then couldn't really get it going for his few returns a game. But on Monday, Edelman got some momentum from those early snaps on defense, and it carried over big time to his special teams play. To me, it makes sense that as a guy used to doing a lot more in a football game, Edelman's level of play went up when he was asked to do more. I realize an offense or defense that relies on Edelman is far from ideal, but don't you think getting this guy on the field a little more could keep him fired up for punt returns? Or could it be my other theory that Edelman was slacking early in the year and his recent play is due to him having been scared straight by the Halloween incident?
I think there's something interesting to that theory, but the flaw with it is last year. He was great at punt returns last year and didn't play all that much. Now, the interesting part of that theory, I find, is the whole thing when he's caught the ball better when he's filled in for Welker than he has when he's just been out there 3 snaps a game. That's a fact. He's even talked about that. That could play into that quarterback mentality of always being out there. But on punt returns, he had the same role last year but was great at it. This year he hasn't been good, basically the same thing.
Yeah, and I think he's been okay punt returns this year as well. I don't think he, until the other night, he didn't break any, but I don't think he's done a bad job.
He's been okay.
You know, well, I don't
know. Pedestrian.
I think he's been better than okay. I think he's I think he's a pretty dangerous guy, and rarely does the first guy get him. I think he usually makes that first guy miss somehow, and he breaks tackles. He's a good runner. I don't think that playing more snaps helps him as a punt returner, but I do think that playing more snaps would potentially help him as a receiver. I think we've seen that.
Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire. Good show as always. Has anyone besides me noticed that in the last four games, the Pats have gotten off to really slow starts? Yeah, I think everybody has.
Five, actually.
What happened to the Pats team that drove down the field in the first possession and scored? They used to do this on a consistent basis, but now it seems that it takes almost a full half for our O to get going. I've heard some analysts saying that it's because Brady is having a hard time getting started, possibly because of his shoulder and tendonitis. What do you guys think? And okay, I've kept you waiting, so let's talk about the subject. Sorry, Andy, but any power ranking that doesn't have Green Bay in first place is fraudulent. Houston is first and San Francisco is second. Please, is this power ranking system based on a coin flip or perhaps a Haitian voodoo priest casting some bones? And who is this mysterious Wilson? Andy's imaginary friend? You need to rethink the system. Anyway, have a happy Thanksgiving and keep up the great show.
If my highly influential consultants tell me that I need to change the system, maybe I will. But right now I'm happy with the system. Patriots fans can't have it both ways, Fred. All year I've been hearing, how come no one rips Green Bay for how bad their defense is? Their defense is just as bad as ours. Now people want to know why Green Bay is not the best team in football. Well, maybe it's because their defense stinks. Maybe? Just maybe? Because it's not just about wins and losses. I told you that. This is a stat-based power ranking based on a lot of stats on both sides of the ball, right? The stats that are associated with winning and losing. So far, the defense hasn't hurt them, but it might.
Stephen Albany says, New England currently owns the tiebreaker over the Ravens with a better conference record. If the two teams win out, the Ravens win the tiebreaker by having beaten the Steelers at least four games against common opponents, Steelers, Chargers, Colts, and Jets. So because they beat the Steelers,
it'll improve their conference winning percentage?
I guess so, yeah.
But how come the Patriots doesn't improve by beating the Dolphins and Bills and Colts? Oh, common opponents.
I wasn't paying attention.
Okay.
Jim and Walpole, I am totally astonished that Fabio Ventrone is on our roster and Jarrett Page is out of work. Would an NFL veteran safety who knows our system not be a better option than Fabio wannabe?
Don't ask me. I'm lost.
You're lost.
I would take Page in a heartbeat. I don't understand it. I have no idea.
Yeah,
it makes no sense. And I did talk to somebody about that, and they sort of wondered themselves. Someone who would kind of know said that they were definitely interested in the offseason, and then didn't necessarily expect them to put a claim in, a waiver claim, but thought that they might be interested and was sort of surprised that they hadn't done anything.
Keith writes in, we'll get to his email, then we'll get to a couple phone calls. I would like to see Shane Vereen handle kickoff returns because the guy has track speed and he is a running back, which gives him an advantage with finding the holes in coverage. I would also like to see what Vereen could do on third down, replacing Woodhead in passing situations. Just seems like every time Brady throws the ball to Woodhead on third down, bad things happen. Tip passes that either result in no conversion or interceptions. We drafted Vereen with intentions for him to replace Kevin Faulk, so let's see what the kid can do. And Andy, calm down, saying Edelman is a playmaker is way too premature. If Ocho has one game where he catches 10 for 120 yards, is he now a playmaker?
What did I say about Edelman?
You're calling him a playmaker.
I did?
I don't know.
I don't remember you saying that, but I'll take the cheese and say that Edelman, in his limited opportunities, has shown to be a playmaker.
Sure.
When he has the ball in his hands, he's, I think, a tough guy to tackle.
On punt return, certainly.
Yeah, and I think even, you know, in limited as a receiver, I think he's shown the ability to break tackles and be a difficult guy to corral in the open field. Does that make him DeSean Jackson? No. But I think he's a pretty dynamic player in limited opportunities.
Let's go to
durability is the biggest problem for Julian Edelman.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eldridge in North Carolina is on the phone. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
What's up, Eldridge?
Yeah, I'm just listening to y'all on the radio, and I got a couple things I want to bring up. One, Green Bay's defense isn't worse as ours. At least they got corners and safety that can cover and run with receivers. We still lacking in that department. And as far as everybody think we're going to run the tables. well, you know, Miami's still looking pretty good. And I'm not down the Pats, not one bit. But I'm like, you know how the thing goes every now and then. If they know you, you might. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, I don't worry that much about that game, but I understand what you're saying. They are playing better football, and, you know, who knows? Yeah.
Okay, getting back to Philadelphia. We got a defense that can pressure Brady. You got some fast receivers and a running back. Even though Vic ain't playing, Young is a little bit, you know, a little bit better. Not better than Vic, but getting a little bit better. How you see that game playing out?
I think it's, unless the Patriots, if they make mistakes, they're going to lose the game. There's no doubt about it. Mistakes on defense or offense. They got guys on that team that can make plays on both sides of the ball.
Yeah,
and it's in Philly.
I'd be very afraid of this game if Vic were playing or, you know, reasonably healthy. But I think that Vince Young will make enough mistakes that the Patriots will win. That's
okay.
How I feel. I don't think it's going to be an easy game. I think it's going to be a tough game, but.
I don't think it'd be easy either.
No, I think the Eagles probably have more talent than the Patriots and will be a tough team to beat on the road, but I think Vince Young is going to help the Patriots out in that department.
It was interesting. I was listening to Troy Brown on the radio the other day, and he said that when the Patriots played Oakland a few years ago, they targeted Asamoah. They went after him. And he says this year as well, he doesn't think Asamoah's playing that well.
He's playing a terrible scheme for him, evidently.
Yeah,
they're
not playing man.
The off zones are not for him.
Yeah.
No. One more question. I'm going to let it go at this. Ocho. I know everybody get on Ocho, you know, getting on them and everything. But don't you think we need to use him sooner or later? Because I'm tired of looking at the sidelines. And see him on the sideline being a fan. Instead of a player, you know, but eventually we're gonna need him in one of these games coming up.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to, like, when he was on the field, you know, first, you know, note where he's lined up and then see if Brady even looked in his direction. I think he did once. You know, I don't even think he's like a factor. You know,
no,
I'm
just, neither.
I'm
just
sort of tired of talking about Ocho Cinco, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because I looked at Sundays, was it Monday night game?
Yeah,
double Ocho. And they double or grunt every now and then. I can't see why Chad and Branch can't beat one on one. This was baffling me.
Yeah,
I think that's the bigger reason as to why this offense is sort of struggling lately than anything else. I think people are defending it, and that's one of the reasons they don't have enough options. They have 1.5 wide receivers and 2 solid tight ends. And as you said, Freddie, they don't have a running game that scares you.
Right.
So I think that. As good as Welker and Gronkowski are, and Hernandez, too, at times, I think that you can concentrate on something, and then you sort of limit it down to one guy.
Right, right.
You know, like Kansas City decided that they were going to try to take Welker out of the game the other night, and they did. So now they don't really have a lot of options.
All right, Aldrich, thanks for the call. Let's go to Larry in Miami. Hey, Larry.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Oh, we're just doing our radio thing.
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
You too, Larry. Thanks.
But I was calling. It was an okay win. It does kind of scare me because that first quarter kind of reminded me it's going to be like the playoff games because it's going to veer its head again, and we need to do something about the receiving core because that's not going to help us. You know, everybody going to be teeing off on Gronk and Hernandez, so. I feel like, you know, they need to really try to get Ocho in these few games to throw him the ball, force it.
Right, or Taylor Price or something, you know?
Oh, yeah, Taylor Price. Yeah. Well, I guess they don't like the guy, so.
Well, you know, then move him, like, you know?
Yeah, so. And Doreen looked good last night, but I think, you know, I'm starting to think that a lot of things that we, you know, that's affecting us on defense, if we run the ball more instead of passing the ball, you know, if we're not getting third down so the offense get off the field so quickly, we should, you know, invest in a running back that, you know, we can run really good. And Ben Jarvis Green is really, he's okay, but we need a playmaker back there.
Okay. Well, they, they did invest 2 draft picks in running backs. I mean, I think.
Hey, Vereen looked okay, right?
He looked okay. He had a flash.
Against a team that kind of gave up a little
but
bit,
But Ridley's
probably.
Flashed. Yeah. I mean, I think they hope they have, at least have one legitimate playmaker out of those 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would wonder what's happened to Ridley here in the last few weeks. Not necessarily Monday night. It was nice to see Vereen get an opportunity. We hadn't seen any of him. But I would wonder, you know, what the deal is with Ridley and why we haven't really seen him over the last, what, three games? He's got a total of five or six carries.
Do you think they analyze it too much? Is there like a sabermetric approach that, you know, Tom Bolley is good at this, against that?
Right.
How about you just
they have their own,
your best running back, just go.
Computer. That
they're matching up. Yeah. This front seven is a little bit thicker and slower, so Benny's going to be good, but this one's a little faster. We need speed. Because you look at Ridley, just the Oakland game, and I know it's a small, small sampling, but he had more big runs in that game than the rest of the team has had all year. Yeah. If you go back and look at their 10-yard runs.
Yeah.
And some teams, even great backs, you go there game by games, have slow weeks. So how do you become a great back if they take you out of the mix every time you're not great?
Yeah, and I know you guys make fun of me, but there were a couple times where Benny was running Monday night where I thought he, you know, if he had hit the hole just a second earlier, there would have been more there.
Yeah, you're a little bit of a fraud, though.
Why?
You make fun of
your
followers.
You said you don't do that.
Yeah, but you also...
No,
you make
I said
fun
I
of,
hadn't done it this year for Woodhead.
But you make fun of your followers
oh my God.
On the curse words. No, now they're calling for Ridley when you're calling for Ridley in the press box.
I was with Ben Jarvis.
No, yeah. Fred,
you're a fraud.
I got to defend Fred here. That was at the end of the game. Vereen gets in for his first carries as a Patriot. You know, shows a little flash, and people are wondering where Ridley is. That's when
right,
he
that's
mentioned
when
it to
I.
Him.
You're from.
You're an idiot. we have a new segment on the show. It's
the fraud
listener
idiot?
On listener or reader or emailer mm-hmm. on emailer crime. It's brought to you us by Soap of the Slot.
Okay.
And today, Brooklyn Matt goes after Jeff from Vegas. He says, Jeff from Vegas, we listen to Patriots.com radio because we love the Patriots, not because we want to go to slimy Las Vegas. Even with the tourist sales pitches.
Heavens to Betsy!
Even with the tourist sales pitches, I couldn't care less about where to park or what pedestrian bridge to use to get to whatever sleazy casino you're hyping this week. And the other casino couldn't get good TVs? Who cares? Who goes on vacation to watch freaking television? Furthermore, you can stick your gambler jargon where the sun don't shine. If I have to hear about another parlay or double down, I'll puke. Anyway, hey, Fred, Paul, Andy, and Eric, happy Thanksgiving. Hey, Andy, can I come to Dartmouth and have Thanksgiving dinner with you at your house in the middle of nowhere?
Nope.
I'm dying to see what Andy's Fortress of Solitude looks like. So,
well, you'd go to Vegas if Eric went, Brooklyn, because you follow him anywhere, and you were disappointed that you couldn't meet up with him and have a little gay tryst in New York.
Gay tryst.
Stripper says that Adam Kaplan from
NFL
Scout.com
something like that. Yeah,
Scout. Yeah,
he says whatever. He would put Vic at doubtful to start as of now. If limited in practice, maybe number two something. Do you think Vic plays this week? Oh, somebody. So that's some guy's name. Adam Kaplan is saying he's
well.
Doubtful.
No, Adam Kaplan
Adam
works
Kaplan's,
for the Eagles.
No, he's big.
He does their pre and post game show on Eagles.com. Something you should probably know since you're our director of new media. And he also works for Scout.com.
Not the Eagles director of new media.
Oh, so you don't compare to other
no,
teams?
I don't.
Belichick doesn't, you know, see what the league trends are.
No, we lead the league, so they.
That's true. That's a good point.
Let's see. Eric from New York says, "Let me start off by saying Green Ellis did a great job last year, along with Woodhead stepping into their roles and being productive for the team. However, the little bit we've seen from Ridley, in a first meaningful sampling of Vereen on Monday, both of these guys appear to have superior speed and elusiveness than both Green Ellis and Woodhead. I'm not suggesting we just go ahead and replace them." As there is something to be said for Green Ellis's ball security and goal line running, and I'm sure the two rookies are not as good in pass protection as Falk, Woody. But do you guys think there is a chance that we see more Vereen and Ridley, given that they appear to add more dynamic aspect to the offense? Also, I'm not sold that this is anywhere near a championship defense, but look forward to seeing how they play against some more subpar opponents once Spikes, McCourty, and Chung get back in there. So it would be nice, like, you know, toward December, all of a sudden the Patriots have this new running game with these new guys that haven't really been scouted a lot. That would be kind of cool.
Well, I don't think it'll be both, though. I think you might get one of them that gets their opportunities and then distances themselves. Benny's still going to be a part of it. They love Benny.
Yeah. I do think that you might benefit a little bit from the fresh legs thing. I think Vereen showed a little of that the other night. He was bouncing in and out of holes very quickly.
Because he's not as old as his hairline.
No, but you know he hasn't played. You know, and Ridley hasn't had much, many carries either. So I do think you might have a chance to get one of those guys sort of inject some life into the running game in December.
Wow, Fred, it seems like a lot of people want to replace Woodhead. It's almost like he hasn't had a real impact season.
Well, the one thing I'll say about that, too, is I think he's struggling at blitz pickup. I mean, I thought he showed a little bit more as a ball carrier the other night. You know, I think we mentioned that earlier in the show. He almost got Brady killed on, I think, the strip sack.
What do you think Skechers thinks of their little spokesman?
Let's see. Let's go to the phone line. Anthony in Naples wants to pile on Jeff in Vegas. Hey, Anthony.
Anthony.
What's going on?
How you doing?
Yeah, definitely want to pile on in him. Nobody cares about your stupid parlays. I love to gamble. I love it. But I don't bore people with my bets. It's like talking fantasy football. Fantasy football people, like, they talk about it like everybody else cares. Nobody else cares. You only care about your own team. I don't want to hear it. I really don't. I don't care.
It's golfers and fantasy football players, Anthony. They
parents.
They think everybody cares about all the stuff.
And people who are on diets.
But people with kids do that. My wife does it to me. She
absolutely
tells me what she did with my daughter. I don't really care. I don't need a blow-by-blow.
You really are.
She woke up three times during her nap.
Well,
she needed
bad.
This.
You are the
bad.
Most miserable
that
person in the world. Your own child.
I wasn't
you don't
there.
Care.
We don't need to compare it.
You know, God forbid your wife would think you're interested in
right.
your own kid.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
But I don't need a play-by-play of her nap.
I do. I can't get enough of what
up.
I miss.
You're the guy who goes to Northeastern games instead of going home to see your kids.
My kids have a very good record at Northeastern games.
Yeah, and you're creating another generation of losers.
Unfortunately, that's probably accurate. Howard, come on.
Good
Nothing?
Lord. It's
have you been beaten down?
Okay, what else you got, Anthony, besides just ripping on Jeff?
Oh, I mean, you know, the Snagglepuss thing wasn't a compliment. You know what I mean? Dude, you sound like a douchebag. You know, when I came, I can't stand it. But anyways.
So what's
So you're going to be putting your money on the Patriots this week?
Yeah, dude, I don't talk about my own bets. I just don't. It's just like nobody else cares besides me.
That's true.
Like, it's one thing if, like, maybe you're talking and you're like, oh, can you believe that play? That cost me that. And it's just like on a private one-on-one conversation maybe with another bettor.
I hear
you. That's one thing. But nobody else wants to hear it.
Okay.
Really don't.
Okay.
But, yeah, no, pretty much on that game, too, you know, I don't know. They did what they were supposed to do. Kind of disappointed. It took them like 3 to 4 series to finally get that offense going. You know, it's just like it seems to be it's an epidemic. You know, the last 3 to 4 games, it's like, dude, it's like what is taking so long for this offense to get going? I don't get it. And once again, you know, for some reason, they don't want to use Ridley, you know, just. Plain old stubbornness. I don't know what's happening in practice. Is he fumbling the ball? I don't know. You know what I mean? It's just something's going on, you know?
Well, I think they love Green Ellis. I think they really do. Not just for the ball security. I think they love everything about him. Everything about him. Into maximizing plays, going where he's supposed to go, attitude, work ethic, everything. I think they love him.
I know, I hear it, but it's just like it would be nice to just get Ridley involved a little bit. You know what I mean? With a couple of,
especially now with
him.
The toe. You know, apparently Green Ellis isn't 100%.
He's fine.
I think we can take that off the board.
He's really? Fine.
I mean, why would they give him the ball 20 plus times
games
in a blowout?
And he's playing. He's fine. He's out there.
Yeah, he's just not fast. That's why it seems like you're trying to make the excuse. Like,
but he did
hurt.
Look faster. I thought earlier in the season before he got hurt.
Yeah, I guess.
You know.
See, I think it's the fresh legs thing. I think when you watch a guy throughout the year and then the last thing you remember is, you know, how he finished the season, and then you come the next year and you're like, oh, wow, he looks quicker to me.
That could be.
And then, you know, he gets 250 carries and you're like, oh, that's the guy I remember.
Right, that could be. Yeah.
All right, I want to wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving before Fred hangs up on me. Take it easy, guys.
All right,
thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too, Anthony.
Joe in Canton writes in, great win by the Patriots on Monday night. I know everyone is talking about Gronk and his becoming one of the best tight ends of the game. However, I think when the playoffs come around and we have to deal with the Steelers and Ravens defense, I think Aaron Hernandez will become even more important to the offense than he is now. Looks like he's getting healthy after the injury, and it seems as though his quickness is coming back. I always thought of him as a Dallas Clark type, and I think if he stays healthy, he can really make teams pay for rolling their coverage towards Wes Welker and Gronk. What are your thoughts? I love the PFW show on Comcast, by the way, especially when Paul and Andy argue. It makes for great TV.
I love that. Because all the other people say it's terrible when they argue. I love the 50-50 split on the arguments on here and the show. I do think that Hernandez and Gronkowski will be the difference of their postseason offensively. I think, Hernandez hopefully will be healthy or healthier than he was last year when he had the hip thing and then had surgery right after. And Gronkowski has taken it to a new level. I almost think that the team in general, tight end, defensive end, that'll be how far you go. If Anderson and Carter are meeting at the quarterback and Gronk's making plays, I think they can be good. If you take away those plays, the rest isn't all that impressive.
Hamza in Toronto, loving the show lately. Paul especially has been in rare form.
I disagree.
Especially when Andy is away and the specter of Fred and Paul alone in a room together starts to loom. With every email Fred reads or every opinion a caller offers, I can almost hear Paul's blood pressure rising to dangerous levels. Then he says something like, hold on, wait a minute. Did that guy just say that?
No, or he does the, he moves, he's usually eating. And then you see him chewing,
right.
And when he chews fast, you know he wants to say something, and he pulls the mic closer, he goes, all right, I was gonna let
right,
it go,
right.
But, dot, 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 and right. Hilarity ensues.
I do, however, find myself agreeing more and more with Paul's opinion on things, which, while it makes him more credible, is starting to make me worry a little bit about myself.
Makes him more credible.
Because
believe me, I feel like that was the missing ingredient in my resume.
A heated altercation with a woman in a mall is sure to follow soon, and then perhaps a Miller Lite and Diet Coke addiction. Actually, it's Pepsi.
No Coke today. What's going on?
Keep it up, Paul. You're the brains behind the show. Fred is the heart. Eric is the nose. And Andy is the lovable ass.
Andy's the mouth.
I like it.
He also says he's sick of all the Tim Tebow talk.
We're
he
done.
Can't take it anymore. Bring back Jarrett Page. And then lastly, nice to hear some UK Pats fans on the show today. I spent a year in Glasgow for a school a couple of years ago, and I had a great time. I remember wearing my Brady jersey to class, and most people would wonder who the hell number 12 was. The jersey culture isn't quite the same there. You don't really see people wearing them to malls as much. But after a big soccer win, they sometimes walk around on the subway or the train station or down the city streets singing arm in arm, totally drunk, while wearing kilts. Is that true? No. Just in Scotland, right? Yeah.
Do you guys all have jerseys?
Oh, yeah.
What? Who? Brady? Welker? Gronk has caught on. He's the big one lately. He's the hot item, as he should be.
Jahir Zolak talking about all the old Royal Blue 87s, and people are ripping coats off.
Nice.
And putting Gronkowski.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. Not for coats.
Not for coats.
No.
But all those people that bought the Woodhead jerseys are now regretting it and should have bought the Gronk when I told them to buy the Gronk.
You're right again, Andy.
I know a guy who's going to be here long term, and I know a guy who isn't.
Wow. All right.
And they both have, the other stuff they like.
Let's see. Chris from Stanford. Hello, Fred and various and sundry PFW guys. Hope you're having fun in the glow of a solid second half, and hope that the fun continues through Thanksgiving for all of you. How about a quick game of Would You Rather?
Brooklyn Decker.
Below are comparisons of Patriots personnel and or situations. Which would you rather have? All examples are for 2011, so no going back or looking forward to better versions of anyone. Ready? Would you rather have Brandon Tate or Chad Ochocinco?
Brandon Tate.
I guess, yeah.
Was that strictly offense or was that...
Whatever.
Well, it matters to
me. You factor it all in.
I'll say Brandon Tate either way.
Right.
See, I wouldn't. Just offense, I'll take Ocho.
Tom Brady and Bill O'Brien giving Ochocinco guidance after every single play, or giving guidance to Taylor Price after every single play?
Price.
Yeah, because that means he's playing, right?
I'm this close to cutting ties with him, though. That illegal motion penalty was inexcusable.
Chad Ochocinco or a slice of fresh pumpkin pie?
Chad Ochocinco. Pumpkin pie sucks.
Kevin Falk or Shane Vereen?
Shane Vereen.
What was the rule? Right,
right now.
Right now.
No looking back.
No looking back or looking forward.
Sorry, K-Feezy.
Currently hurting vets Matt Light and Sebastian Vollmer at tackle, or pain-free rookies Nate Solder and Marcus Cannon?
Light and Vollmer.
Light and Vollmer. Paul hates Cannon.
Nate Solder at tight end or Dan Gronkowski?
Nate Solder.
Did I see Dan Gronkowski in the locker room? Was that just
I don't know. Did you see him? You tell me.
Did you see him?
No.
Okay. Logan, he's not on the team, so he shouldn't be in locker room.
Logan Mankin's foolish penalties or a punch in the chest from Eric? I take the punch in the chest.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Right.
Just to see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, I can piss harder than he can hit.
We have a live studio audience with a laugh track today.
We should put on,
we should put on one mic so we can catch him laughing.
Logan Mankin's... Oh, I said that. Gerard Mayo in the middle of a 4-3 or Gary Guyton?
Gerard Mayo.
Yeah.
God.
Wow.
Now, people need to read. We don't say that Mayo stinks. We just say he's not an elite playmaking Ray Lewis, Patrick Willis, great linebacker. There's a difference.
Mayo in the middle or Brandon Spikes? Still take Mayo.
Mayo.
I still take Mayo.
Kyle Arrington or Devin McCourty? Please don't say both, even though it might happen at some point.
Kyle Arrington.
Really?
This year.
Okay. Well, that's fair.
This year,
it's
Arrington,
just this year. That
this year,
that's
Arrington
fair.
Has played better. I think Andy's right.
Starting defensive tackles in your 4-3, Wilfork and Diedrich or Love and Brace? I take Wilfork and Diedrich.
Yeah, but that wasn't fair. One of them should have been Wilfork and Love.
Yeah.
But, Julian Edelman at defensive back or Sergio Brown?
Julian Edelman.
Sergio Brown.
Paul would take Brown.
I'm with Bill.
James Sanders or any defensive back currently on New England's roster? I would take Chung.
Jimmy. That's my loyalty.
Matt Patricia or Romeo Crennel?
Romeo Crennel. Love you, Matt, but sorry.
Getting to the end here. New England's remaining easy schedule or a more difficult schedule to prep them for the playoffs?
More difficult.
Really?
No, yes. The easy schedule.
Yeah, me too.
I'd rather know now what you have. I don't want to get blown out in January and pretend I was good.
Thanks a lot. So glad the Pats came around in the second half this week. Philly will be tough, but maybe Vince Young will have an off day. Shadow Chisinko will be really productive. That's a good one. So
Vince Young will have an off day, but it's not an off day. It's called a day.
Vince Young threw 3 picks last week.
And the very first throw he had this year where he filled in for a single snap, he threw a pick. He stinks.
Let's see.
Wrong on him.
Stripper says on the Eagles site, PhiladelphiaEagles.com, they have a Brady breakdown video.
Yeah, I just saw Adam Kaplan posted that.
What is it?
Breakdown video.
What does that mean?
You know, they...
That's all it said.
Checking to see if he might be hurt, maybe? I don't know. What his tendencies are?
He has a tendency to throw touchdown passes.
There you go.
No?
Joe in Indy writes in, my dad and I noticed that there is no Indianapolis area fan club for the Patriots, so we took it upon ourselves to try to gather the local fans. We own a bar directly across the street from Lucas Oil Stadium that always has the Patriots game on, and we could use some strength in numbers to balance out bitter Colts fans. There are only 9 of us right now. Need one more to get registered on Patriots.com.
Is that true?
Yeah, you need a minimum of 10 people in your fan club.
Come on, somebody in Indy, step up. Help Joe.
Anyone interested can email info@IndyPatsFans.com or follow @IndyPatsFans on Twitter. Thanks and have a wonderful Thanksgiving. So, Indianapolis Pats, I know we've had a few call into the show.
That might have been Joe.
Yeah, maybe. But IndyPatsFans.com or @IndyPatsFans.
And if they get one more, then they'll be on F Corp.
They can register with Patriots.com and be officially get their little emblem on their website and all that stuff.
Maybe make hats?
Yeah. But I think that's cool that there's a bar right across the stadium that shows Patriots.
That would piss me
games.
Off if I were Bill Irsay, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Bob, all the more John. Reason to get that going.
Where's this?
In Indianapolis.
No, yeah, where there's a bar right across from Lucas.
That
Joe.
Shows the Patriots games.
And they're trying to start a fan club, but you got to have 10 to be official, and they only got 9 right now.
Oh.
Why don't you move to Indy and meet the 10th?
Why don't you go...
Why don't you make
Eric's
why don't
here.
You make an exception, Freddie, and let them join with only
yummy.
9?
I mean, they're right across the street. That's got to piss them off.
Thank you.
Eric, what's going on outside?
Inside.
Oh, they went inside.
Dana-Farber, yeah.
Now, why is that?
Weather.
It's pouring out.
Is it still raining?
Yes.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah.
Why is that?
It's just in.
But they've been inside all
because it's been raining a lot the last couple of weeks.
Every time I wake up, there's puddles everywhere. So, like, every night it rains. We get a ton of rain lately.
Yeah.
Must be the El
but
Nino.
But they only, just having played on Monday, they went inside to do a walkthrough. So nothing really exciting going on.
Linebackers still out?
Yeah. The 3 linebackers, Tarpinian, Spikes, Fletcher, not to be seen.
Does Tarpinian have, like...
I don't know. Yeah.
A plague?
SARS? Or something.
Well, it's clearly not the flu. I mean, Logan Mankins missed a day to illness, and he's back the next day.
He had the flu.
And he doesn't miss practice for anything, so he had to be pretty sick, and yet he was back the next day.
Right.
Jeff Tarpinian's got the Paul Perillo 8-month cough.
I haven't missed any days.
You should have.
Oh, you got yourself a little hat there, Paulie, huh?
Yeah, you do, too.
You have
I
one,
do?
Too.
Where? They're not just little. They're big. They fit my head, too.
They fit your head.
So you got
one size really fits all.
Actually, yours is a blanket, right?
It'll even go over your nose.
Thank you.
Just poke a hole in it, you Hamburglar.
So those 3 guys weren't there. Matt Light, who was injured late in the game, was out there standing around in his jersey.
But he doesn't have the walking boot on.
He didn't have the walking boot. He walked through the locker room today.
Yes.
And looked no worse for the wear, so we'll see what happens with him. McCourty was out there. Chung was out there, so I guess good news for those guys, but it, like I said, it was only a walkthrough, so not much you can glean off of that. But 4 o'clock, we'll get an injury report.
The light one's big. I mean, going up against, this is a pass rushing team.
Trent Cole.
Cole and the other guy.
How much have they been?
Took me a minute.
I know Philadelphia's longtime defensive coordinator, Jimmy Johnson, died a few years ago. But how much of his philosophy did they keep or when they brought in the new coordinator that all went away?
They're in a wide nine.
Well, some of the blitzing stuff they still do, and that was one of the reasons why Andy Reid thought it was a good idea to go with an offensive line coach, because he claimed that Juan Rivera, is it Juan Rivera? Is that his name?
No, Castillo.
Castillo.
Juan Rivera.
You call him Juan Pierre Paul. Well,
and that's part of what got me, is he always calls him by a different name.
Yeah.
He calls him Vinny Castilla, and that kind of threw me off.
You just offended millions of Latinos.
No, I didn't.
They're all the same, all those Latino names.
Anyway.
No, you just offended.
thank you, Fred.
Yeah.
So
Mike in Puerto Rico's tight. I play
Andy Reid claimed.
What happened to him anyway?
He plays word with, he hates Paul.
Yeah, I think he's boycotting because of Paul.
If we have a show without Paul, he'll call.
Okay.
I'm very proud of that. We've eliminated one bad caller. and if that's all, listen. If I could just eliminate one bad caller from the show, I feel like I've accomplished a lot.
You made the world a better place. You're like Tim Tebow.
Right. So anyway, I think that was one of the reasons why Reid stuck with him, is he felt like there was a relationship between those two.
That's stupid.
It was totally short-sighted and stupid. They used to talk a lot about pressuring and how you can get pressure. And he would talk about, Castillo would talk about, you know, protection against those blitzes. And Jimmy Johnson would tell you how he went after that protection scheme, and that supposedly was this, you know, great symbiotic relationship. It didn't make any sense to me. And on top of all that, as Andy alluded to, they brought in a defensive line coach from the outside, Jim Washburn, who brought this sort of controversial wide nine defensive line format, which asks basically the defensive end to just get up the field and not really worry about containing or anything. But behind them is linebackers that now can't blitz. Because if you have to have some gap responsibility, or you're going to get gashed in the running game, which, by the way, they did quite frequently earlier in the season. They have young linebackers that weren't able to do it.
Stuart Bradley left?
Stuart Bradley's gone, yeah. And,
did they let him go?
They have very young linebackers to begin with. They can still get pressure on the passer, though.
Jeez, unbelievable.
They can still get pressure on the passer.
Disgusting. I want to get your spray out, Fred. I had Papa Gino's. It goes right through me.
So that's okay, then, that he pooped his pants. I almost said the other word.
Yeah,
we'll they got several linebackers.
We'll do one more emailer, then we have to get to the picks, because no show tomorrow, when we have a game tomorrow night. A lot of games tomorrow. Tyler, and a good slate of games, too.
Oh, my God. He's interrupting himself now.
Yes. No, it's a really good slate of games, right?
There's a lot of commas in that sentence,
Two of the three are phenomenal.
I mean, Detroit versus Green Bay used to be a real ho-hum, but now
it's a great game.
It's a great game.
Now it's a ho-humma.
And the Harbaugh Bowl.
Yeah. Tyler from
Georgia.
I wish
that game was on during the day.
I said to Eric, it'll be great for the 10 minutes.
Now they're interrupting.
Well, if you can do it, I can do it.
No, you can't. Tyler from Georgia, there's been something a few callers have done on several of the shows in the last few weeks that is starting to really bother me.
Wow,
taking the time to say, I know you have a lot of callers and a lot to talk about, so I just want to call quickly with a quick point. Almost negates the point of you calling in to make a quick point.
It's like Fred saying a lot of emails.
If you really want to make a quick call, just call, say your point, and say you have a good one. No need to make a formal announcement. That said, I want to say something about Tebow, and because it's a short week and you have a lot to get to, so I'll keep this short. See what I did there? Without getting into a big debate on whether Tebow is a good quarterback, I think the problem is Denver is they are becoming very dependent on his last-minute touchdown. It's one thing to be dependent on a player, maybe like we are with Brady, but it's a greater concern that they are so dependent on one play. Ask the Giants what happens when that expected last-minute drive doesn't happen 2 weeks in a row. All right, that's Tyler. All right, so now it's time to get to the picks.
Right. The UK Pats fans can now back up that I have a digestive problem.
My God.
It's unbelievable.
It's the Papagino.
It's like a full trumpet salute for you guys.
So excuse yourself for a second.
I would just have to leave the rest of the show.
Hold it in.
No, I can't. I'd blow up.
God.
Listen, if I can somehow eliminate Mike from Puerto Rico and you from this show.
All right, Paul, what happened last week?
Last week, Andy and I went 11-3.
Wilson Hart Power Index rules wow. again.
We also won the week with the spread going 7-5-2. Eric and Fred went 9-5 and 4 no, I'm sorry. Fred went 5-7-2. Eric went 4-8-2. So, the season standings, and it must be the holiday time because Perillo's starting to make a charge. Fred has the lead at 107-53. I am second, 105-55. Eric third, 104-56.
I'm coming, baby.
Well, that's a little personal. Andy is 99-61.
Oh, right there.
With the spread.
I'm not close.
Fred remains in the lead, 79-75-6. Eric, 77-77-6. Paul and Andy, 73-81-6.
Okay.
So Fred continues to set
to get
the pace.
About the Mendoza line on the
Fred continues
the
to set the pace.
I don't like that.
Hi-ho. He's not listening to me in there.
That's you.
He's busy with the
going to need Arizona, St. Louis, and the Patriots.
It's off the board, Jeff said.
It is.
All right,
but
tonight.
There'll be a line somewhere.
I mean, tomorrow. Why do I keep thinking it's Thursday?
Feels like a holiday today.
Yeah. Tomorrow, 12:30.
Because we're at work.
The
That's
early
what a holiday
game.
Is holiday. Our friends are here.
The early game is a good one.
Right.
Green Bay at Detroit. And Paul?
Detroit is at home, and they are underdogs by 6 points.
Ooh.
Sorry, I wasn't really paying attention.
This is a great matchup of the number three and number four teams. Yes, I said number three and number four, and Green Bay is involved in the Wilson Hart Power Index.
But which one is Green Bay, though? Are they four? I mean, I know the wins don't mean anything in that formula.
And I'll be taking the home team, the Green Bay Packers, to win and cover.
Detroit's at home.
Detroit is at home.
Oh, no.
I got to take Detroit then. Okay, I'll take Detroit. That's by rule. I got to take the home team in the close ones.
Going against the pick you made in the paper, as usual, I'm going to go with
Because in the paper, I get to use my brain, not the Wilson Hart Power Index.
It doesn't matter what you think.
Right. And he's not winning in the paper either.
No, he's not.
Right.
Not
sorry.
Even close.
I'm sorry. I went 11-3.
I'm sorry. 11-3?
One week.
Even a blind squirrel finds
8-5, 8-5, 11-3.
Proven.
He went 11-3 when he took his brain out of it.
Right, right. Ahead of you in the paper.
Packers are not going to go undefeated. I'm sorry.
I think
not going to happen.
Pretty much at the bottom.
And if there's any game they're going
the paper,
to
bitch.
Lose, it's going to be this one coming off a short week. It's in Detroit. Thanksgiving. It's their holiday.
Yep.
Lions win.
Okay. Paul?
Yeah, I'll take Green Bay. I do think that this is a losable game for the Packers, but I'm going to take Green Bay to continue it.
I'm with
Too
Eric.
Much offense.
I'm with Eric. I'm going to take Detroit to win this game. All right, now we go to 4:15. Miami at Dallas.
It's endless gas. If you could bottle this, the energy crisis would be over.
Yeah, but we'd all die from
Dallas by 7.
You'd have to filter it properly or something.
Dallas by 7.
Over who?
Dallas by 7.
Miami. Oh, Dallas has got to be higher in these rankings. Dallas.
Well, I don't know why you would make that assumption.
Yeah, this is Dallas fell a little bit into the number 8 slot, but they're still well above the Dolphins, so I'll take Dallas.
Yeah, Dolphins been playing a little over their head recently, or their competition has just really sucked.
Yep.
In any event, Cowboys at home. It's not going to be like the Leon Lett game back in the early 90s. Cowboys are going to win pretty
easily.
How about
Jim Galloway?
Hey, Jimmy.
I kind of like the way Miami's playing, but I'm going to stick with Dallas here. I think the Thanksgiving aspect of this game is tough for teams that aren't used to that. Short week, road game, not a lot of prep time. I think Miami's played pretty hard all year long, but I think they're going to lose this one.
I'm going to take Dallas as well. What's the line again?
Seven.
Seven. I'll take that as well.
I said it 17
no
times.
No one listens to you, Paul.
San Francisco at Baltimore. This is at 8:20 in the evening.
Ravens by 3.5.
I am going to take San Francisco because they are more than three slots ahead. Well, technically they're three slots, but I'll take San Francisco. I'll go with Jim over John.
I'm going to go with the home Ravens because and I'm not too confident about this because the Niners have shown they can come cross country and win games this year.
Hell yeah.
But in the battle of the Harbaughs, I'm going to go with the home team here because I think the Ravens, as inconsistent as they've been, when they play a good opponent, they play to that level, and they're playing a good opponent this week, so I think they'll rise to the occasion and win the game.
What's the Ray Lewis situation?
Questionable,
but Harbaugh says he will play again this year, but
probably not this week.
He wants to play this week.
I mean, obviously, the 49ers want to run the ball, and he's in the middle of that defense.
Yeah, I think
Willis on one side, Lewis on the other.
The Ravens are undefeated against teams with winning records, and I think they continue that at home. Again, team on a short week playing on Thanksgiving on the road, that's a tall task.
I'm going to go with San Francisco. I think they do enough on defense to give Flacco problems. And so 49ers, go 10-1.
Patriots fans, you're going to be home after dinner. Watch that game. Watch the San Francisco 49ers defense. Watch the linebacker in the middle of the field. We'll talk about
Mayo.
Watch
the other guy.
Yeah.
Bowman.
True. True. Watch the other guy, too, and we'll see what real linebacker play looks like.
All right. Sunday at 1, Minnesota at Atlanta. Minnesota at Atlanta.
Atlanta by 9.5.
9.5.
9.5. Yeah, I'll take Atlanta. Minnesota is terrible in the power rankings. They're number 30.
The only reason I was giving the Vikings credit up to this point was because of Adrian Peterson.
Gone.
And when he's on a bad wheel, forget about it. I'll take the Falcons.
Forget about it.
Yeah, it's more points than I'd like to be giving with a team like Atlanta, who I don't think is very good, but I will do it because Peterson's out.
Yeah,
Eric's right.
Minnesota stinks. Me too. Cleveland at Cincinnati. Cleveland at Cincinnati. It's 1 o'clock game.
Cincinnati by 7.5.
Cincinnati, I will take. Although the Browns at 17, not that far behind the number 12 Bengals. Mm. Bengals just can't quite get over. They play the Ravens. They play the Steelers. They play them tough. They can't get over it.
No, but you know what? That experience is going to be good for them going against a Browns team that's not very good. They'll handle their business at home, and they're going to win pretty big here.
Yeah, a team that I don't like giving more than a touchdown to, but I will do it because I think that defense is pretty good and Cleveland's offense is pretty bad. Cincinnati.
You gonna
pick one?
My turn? Yeah, I'll go with Cincinnati.
I'll go with Cincinnati.
Carolina at Indianapolis.
I'll take Carolina.
Carolina at Indy. Carolina by 3.5.
Yeah, I'll take Carolina over the worst team in the Wilson-Hart Power Index. Yeah. Going undefeated doesn't necessarily get you the number one spot. But
going
winless
gets
you
the
bottom spot.
Yeah, and the Panthers have shown they have some talent. They can win some games with, what's his name? A quarterback.
Cam Newton.
Cam guy?
Yeah. So I'll take them to win on the road against a hapless Colts team. People at that Patriots bar will be very happy.
There's no buys this week, by the way.
I'm going to take Carolina, but I have a sneaky suspicion that this is the week.
Really?
But I'm not going to pull the trigger on it. Yeah. I'll take Carolina.
I was thinking the same thing, Paul, but I have to take Carolina as well. Houston at Jacksonville.
So you're both Sarah Pussy.
Houston at Jacksonville. Matt Leinart.
Read that email?
Playing quarterback for the Texans.
Shab officially placed on IR, by the way.
Was he?
What's this game? At Jacksonville.
The guy
3.
On the list of games doesn't know the game.
I thought he said Jacksonville at Houston, and I couldn't find Houston in the home side.
Jack
why.
Del Rio has the reddest ass in the NFL because
Houston
he's been on the
3.
Hot seat for 5 years.
The number one team in the Wilson-Hart Power Index.
They went to your junior high school.
Has a good chance to stay there because they play a Jag team from
you guys
Jacksonville.
Know that story, right? About Fred in the shower, junior high school, right? You heard that, right?
I'll say it again.
No. We'll tell you later. Wow, Fred's not happy now.
Houston at Jacksonville. Houston by 3.
Eric?
Talk and
take. Oh, I didn't know if you made your pick yet.
Well, if you weren't talking while I was picking, you would have known.
Oh, sorry. Mr.
Side
Serious.
Conversations over here.
I'll go with Leinart and the Texans. They are a better team, and I think Leinart will get it done for them.
Yeah, I'll take Houston.
Oh, really? The number one team?
Very curious to see this this game play out.
This is my upset of the week. Jacksonville wins this game. AFC South game. Jacksonville pulls through. Sunday at 1, Buffalo at the Jets.
Buffalo at the Jets.
Giving
the
up
Jets
on Buffalo.
By 8.
Yeah, me
sad
too.
To say.
Fred Jackson out for the year.
You know, the Jets will win, and Rex Ryan will say they're back in the Super Bowl.
I'll take the Jets, although both teams dropping in the AFC and dropping in the Wilson-Hart Power Index.
Yeah, the Jets are at home. They'll beat up on a Bills team that looks like they're packing it in.
Boy, is that a bad contract they signed. $50 million quarterback who can't play.
Talked, by the way, to somebody about that. Very much in line with, he's, I believe, the 18th paid starting quarterback, which is very much in line with where he sort of ranks. So it's not
nearly as bad as
like
it sounds.
$10 million.
Average annual value is very much commensurate with where
he Do you think he falls.
Could
yeah, but that implies that he's going to play like
play
7 years.
Contract.
They're going to pay him $24 million for 2 years.
Well,
so that's not good.
But that'd be a different argument.
But do you think
I am with the boys.
Be quarterback
here.
In 2 years.
Do you
years?
Think he could have been better with better coaching?
No. He is who he is.
No.
Sanchez.
Matter of fact, we're talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about Sanchez.
No.
He's another guy that's overpaid.
No, Jets. I'll go with the boys.
But you had to pay Mark Sanchez when you drafted him.
No, no, right.
Yeah, it was not a wise.
They chose to decide that Fitzpatrick was their franchise quarterback.
It was not a wise move to do what they did with Fitzpatrick. They didn't have to do that.
I'm going to take the Jets as well.
Did they get Fred Jackson a contract yet?
I don't know, but he's hurt.
No, but I don't care about that. He's a legit running back. If you wanted to pay one of your two guys that had developed into a star, he's the guy that's close to real. Right?
Yeah, well, he's certainly. I think a lot of teams would take Fred Jackson.
I would.
All right. Let's pick up the pace. Arizona at St. Louis, 1 o'clock games. Arizona at St. Louis.
St. Louis by 3.
It's always a barn burner when number 25 in the rankings and number 31 get together. I'll take number 25, Arizona.
I will take the home Rams simply because of that fact. They're at home. They have the better quarterback, not by much, even though is the backup at Arizona going to play?
Skelton?
No, the other backup.
Oh,
wasn't there another guy
Skelton,
that came in?
Skelton's been immense.
Right.
All he does is win.
Right.
Yeah, I think Paul's being facetious there, right?
He's T-bowing it.
He's 3-1.
You're being facetious? Yeah. I'm going to go with the home Rams.
He's played wretchedly bad, but I guess all we care about is the bottom line.
That's right.
Paul's mad.
So
Paul's mad making picks. Purveyor of the win-based formula.
Right. So you took who did you take? St. Louis? I took Arizona.
What are you doing?
Farting.
He's like rubbing
he's shitting himself.
He's like rubbing his ass up against the wall like a bear in the woods.
Because he thinks you might not be able to hear it that way.
Meanwhile, the whole stadium is vibrating.
Yeah, they're soundproofing
on
the
walls, Arizona,
but they're
Freddy.
Not smellproofing. Sadly.
Who do you got?
I'm going
to
take Arizona.
We have to pick up the pace here.
Arizona. The final 1 o'clock game, not that it starts later, but it's just on the list.
Again.
Tampa Bay at Tennessee.
Gets me every week.
Tampa Bay at Tennessee.
Tennessee by 3.
I'll take Tennessee.
I don't like this game.
Tampa's a bad team. The bottom of the barrel bunch, Bucks.
They are a bad team, but for some reason, I think they're going to be better than the Titans this week, so I'll take them on the road.
Hasselbeck?
I think he is.
Okay.
Oh, he is?
Tennessee, yeah.
Shoot.
He's going
right before I made that.
I guess he's
going to
try.
I'll still go with the Bucks on the road. Upset, sort of.
Bad pick.
Yeah, I think Tampa Bay is actually a better team, so I'm going to go with the Bucks.
Me too.
Ooh, that's a free victory for Andrew.
Okay. Andrew? We move to 405, Chicago at Oakland.
Chicago at Oakland.
No Jay Cutler,
Oakland
obviously.
By 4.5.
Yeah, this is unfortunate. This is where the Wilson Power Index fails me a little bit when you have a change at quarterback, but I'll go with
the at the number one spot.
Bears, who are in a fifth-place tie with the Patriots and Ravens. They are a pretty good football team. Unfortunately, they lost their quarterback.
Yeah, they did, and that's going to be the deciding factor. Raiders at home will win by 10 points.
I am going to take the Bears. I think that
Caleb Haney?
Who did you take, Andy?
The Bears.
Yeah, I
had to.
I think they'll be all right. I think they're going to find a way. I think the defense has played very well. Matt Forte is having an MVP-type season, and I think they find a way.
All right. I will also go with – no. I'll go with the Bears. I'll go with the Bears.
Okay, free win for me.
I like their defense. All right, 405, Washington at Seattle.
Seattle
Washington.
By 4.
Washington
at abysmal game
Seattle.
As well.
Seattle, where's Washington? Oh, I will go with
Pacific
Seattle.
Pacific Northwest.
Seattle is number 21 and Washington is number 27, so I'll go with Seattle. Pete's team.
I'll go with Seattle simply because they're home and the Redskins having to travel cross country in the northwesterly direction, not going to be good for them.
Yeah, I'll take Seattle too for the same reason Eric did. They're home.
Me too, Seattle. All right, 4:15. Denver at San Diego. We're skipping over the New England-Philadelphia game.
Thanks for noticing.
Thanks for the clarification. Yep. San Diego by 6.5.
6.5.
I will take the home team, but
my
guys,
mailman will be starting at left guard for the Chargers,
these
however.
These guys are back-to-back in the power rankings, 23 and 24, but I'll take the home Chargers at 23.
Yeah, I keep getting burned by these jerks, but I'm going to take them again, Chargers.
Chargers.
I will take the Chargers, but I will take the points, 6.5. So I'll take San Diego to win, Denver to cover.
I will take San Diego to win as well.
Why?
And Denver will not cover.
Whoa, I thought Tebow just wins.
Not every game.
Oh, okay.
Nobody wins every game.
But
not
Tebow,
even Tom Brady.
Tebow
Brady.
Does.
Brady did.
Sunday night, 8:20.
I thought Tebow was better than Brady.
Sunday night, 8:20. Pittsburgh at Kansas City.
Wow, the Chiefs are on back-to-back primetime.
The Chiefs.
Why didn't they change that?
Maybe they thought Matt Cassel was still going to play at that point.
Because
it was 2 weeks ago, so...
Chiefs getting 10 at home.
I don't think Pittsburgh, the number 11 team in the Wilson-Hart Power Index, if they could just stop the turnover problem, they'd be fine.
I'll take the Steelers to win as well.
Do you never take the spread into account when you make these picks? Just
what was the spread?
Ten.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll take the Steelers.
Yeah, I'll do it too.
You see the Chiefs, they fought hard here and still got blown out by 31.
Right.
And they've gotten blown out at home twice this year.
They stink.
Yeah, I'll take the Steelers both ways.
Do you ever take the spread into account?
Yeah, I actually have some different picks.
And Monday night, the Giants travel to New Orleans.
Worked last week.
They're going to get spanked.
New Orleans by 7.
Giants traveling to New Orleans. Another back-to-back matchup. Big week in the power rankings here. Back-to-back matchups. I will take, who's the home team?
New Orleans.
Then I will have to go with the number 10-ranked Saints over the number 9-ranked Giants.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Saints to win very big here. I think the Giants are starting to get exposed.
I'll take the Saints.
I will take the Saints as well. All right, so let's go
unanimous.
Back to 4:15, New England at Philadelphia. I got to poop.
Is New England, Philadelphia.
Make your pick quickly then.
Patriots by 3.
I will take the New England Patriots now, moving up the rankings into the number 5 slot. They may not be the most talented team, Paul. You're right. There's more athleticism, I think, in Philadelphia. But it's not all about collecting talent. It's about winning football games. This is a winning football team here in New England. They'll go on the road and get the job done.
We think Zant's going to get a pick 6 against his old team?
Negative, Ghost Rider.
What about Namdi?
He might.
Okay. I'm going to go with the visiting Patriots as well to win by more than the spread, Paul.
I say the Patriots win by 4, 27-23.
What's the spread?
3.
3.
I got a bad feeling about this game. I don't like the spot, and I'm taking Philadelphia.
Oh, my God.
Man, breaking news here on Patriots.com Radio. Fred picked the
Eagles. The roar goes up from the crowd.
I just think
they're unhappy.
I don't know why, but I didn't write his pick in before like I normally
do. Normally do.
And I don't know why. I didn't think you were going to pick Philadelphia.
You had a moment of clairvoyance.
I don't know why.
So, Fred, what does that say for the rest of the season? Do you
nothing. They just have some things.
Says absolutely not. I agree with Fred. They could very easily lose this game. I'm with Fred.
You know,
I just didn't have the nads to pick it.
So
pick it and stick it.
I just got a bad feeling. I think that the guys that make plays in Philly are going to make some plays, and
the guys who don't make plays for the Patriots won't.
Yeah, so
pass rush is a concern for the Philly team because this offensive line has been shaky at times.
You know, if Spikes was playing and Chung was playing and everybody was healthy, I might feel a little different. But right now, bad spot for the Patriots.
See, that's where I differ from him.
Yeah.
The defense stunk with them, too.
You think they're better without
him? Michael Vick... No. Yeah. But I don't think that's the determining factor to me. I think the Eagles, when healthy, the Eagles are better than the Patriots when healthy, talent-wise. That doesn't mean they win.
Right.
I think the Patriots are playing good football and Philadelphia's not. That's why I'm picking.
So you really just picked Vince Young to beat Tom Brady?
Yes, I did. All right, that's going to be it.
Wow.
Unfortunately, they're not on the field at the same time, so... that's
no,
going to be
Vince
it for
Young
this edition of
Brady,
PFW
maybe.
In Progress.
Actually, it's fortunate
again,
because that would be a
happy
bigger
Thanksgiving
mismatch.
To everybody that celebrates that holiday. I know we have people all over the world, but happy Thanksgiving. We will see you Tuesday. Pre-game social starts at
Sunday
2 o'clock.
At 2.
2 o'clock on
be
Sunday.
Be there.
Make sure you call in. And do we have John Rook next?
Nope.
No. We're going to replay this show?
Yeah, and we have
B-Lo coming up at 4. So
the Pete with the B-Lo?
We'll talk to you on the pregame social.
Sweet victory.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to PFWOnline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.